Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Very nice, Mr. Criscolo. Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and I think is that fitting intro song plays us in for this wild, wacky day of wrestling and sports news. And we are here to recap it all for you, headline style. And of course, for me to do that, I need to bring in my man, my PIC, Scott Criscolo. Scott, how you doing?
JR, it's always a pleasure, sir. Welcome, everyone, to... another exciting episode of the Place to Be podcast. For the first time in a couple weeks, our cornucopia of fun and games. And boy, do we have some fun and games.
Mm.
It's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to how this kind of meanders through because I got a lot of emotional things to talk about. And I may get fired up over stuff that you'd be surprisingly ridiculous that you get fired up about. But that's kind of mood I'm in today.
And of course, just like we did with Derek LaRue, the Denver Broncos have sacrificed a virgin for the greater good of their program.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing that upsets, well, yeah, you're right. We'll get into more of that later. I don't want to go into it now, but we'll get more into it later.
I just had a lot of joke. I don't want to forget
NFL
it later.
There's a lot to go about in the NFL, obviously. We'll talk about the tournament. Obviously, they're in the Sweet 16. That starts, as we're recording, tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
In Boston is the East region, and then Phoenix is the West, and then the other two regions on Friday night. And, of course, we'll talk wrestling, obviously.
God, is the tournament completely overshadowed now, or what? I almost forgot about it with everything going on.
I know. Well, today, well, I tell you, of course, my client, we, you know, at CBS Sports, we have a radio show in the mornings on our air, kind of like Francesa does on Yes, and everything was about, even before, now the news broke the very last segment of the show at like 10:01 today, all that stuff that went down.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the show was about speculations and then some tournament stuff. They had a couple coaches on today, obviously. But, I think people are forgetting that, there are, four games tomorrow night and then four Friday and then four Saturday and Sunday to decide who goes to New Orleans next weekend.
Right.
Kind of serendipitous because we'll be talking about the city of New Orleans and sports later on. So it is very serendipitous that we're talking about all these things involving the same city. But, and who knows, there might be a WrestleMania there in 3 years, so it really is serendipitous, isn't it? All right, we'll get to all the sports stuff later. Why don't we begin with the entity known as WWE? Maybe they'll just get rid of both general managers and Roger Goodell could run both shows, could you imagine?
P.S., your cunt is in the sink!
Yeah, Roger Goodell at his way, you would be a proctologist or whatever the hell it is.
I'm with Roger on this one, but we'll get to that again later.
Yeah. All right. Let us begin with Monday Night Raw. Now, last week we did not have a typical show, although Andrew Reich talked as much as John Laurinaitis does. So you might have been the same thing. So we'll get into a little bit of last, because last week's show in Cleveland was very entertaining. I had a DVR issue last week, so I only caught the pieces of Raw last week that I caught on the website, which, by the way, is awesome. And for those that have not had a chance to sit down and go over it, go to WWE.com and just look around. The site has not been this good in a long time. And I don't know if that's still Joey Styles' department, but, I mean, you and I have talked about it a few times. The site is outstanding now. They have it categorized nicely. Everything is all nice and laid out. It's just, it's outstanding. It really is. So
And it sounds like they spent a lot of money because there were people in the company that were kind of upset with the money because they had just revamped this website like 2 years ago.
Right.
But apparently there was a big push to do this allegedly because they wanted to draw more of the classics audience and stuff like that.
Right. Well, that's obviously, and that's a big deal at this point in time with WrestleMania and what's been going on and how that card is shaping up and stuff like that.
And, but, and with the network, too, I think the major reason.
Yeah, and because we don't know, who knows, TBD for that. All right, so last week in Cleveland, obviously the two big things that happened were the respective musical performances by our main event participants, April 1st in Miami, that, of course, being John Cena and The Rock. We had The Rock having his third concert. We all remember the first one. The first one was awesome. I vaguely remember the second one, which was what, the week before Backlash 03, right? I
think it was. Yeah, when he did Make a Fit of Goldberg.
Yeah. That one was good. It wasn't as good as the one in Sacramento with Stone Cold. That one is legendary. What did you think of this one? I thought it was good for the most part. There were some parts I thought I felt he kind of went below the belt, but it was still funny. I was hoping for a little variety in the songs.
Which one? Oh, Rocks. Well, let's start with Cena.
Okay, so we'll do Cena's first. Yeah, Cena was awesome. Out came the old school, theme, which he hasn't played since. When did the song change? Probably late 2004, right?
Did he have the old one at 20? Actually, no, 21. I think he debuted it.
He debuted it the night he beat JBL. So okay, yeah. So yeah, it was about that time. So yeah, because he definitely had it at Judgment Day in the I Quit match. So it was definitely and. But for the first time since, say, I guess the Raw, or I guess he was on SmackDown, the SmackDown before WrestleMania 21, John Cena came out to the old Doctor of Thugonomics theme, and then out he came. And you and I mentioned this. We talked about this a few times. I actually talked about it with the Silverback there a few times as well, that I think he needed to at least once in this build show his Thugonomics side. And sure enough, out he came with the backwards hat, the jorts. I think he went back to the black sneakers and yes, the custom Mark Price Cavs throwback, and which looked awesome, by the way. He went down and dirty. I mean, he went Attitude Era style on that rap, and I liked it. I thought it was good.
I mean, a lot of it was the same as what he's been saying, but I thought it had a good edge, and I thought he delivered. And again, I don't want to say he's been light years better than The Rock, but I think he's gotten the slight edge on The Rock every week. But that's only because I don't really care for the repetitiveness of The Rock, of what he's been saying and the message he's been saying. It's like, I know it's wrestling. I should expect the gay jokes and the, you know, and the stupid toilet. Yeah, that kind of humor. But it's like, I don't mind the toilet humor, but after a while, it's like, come up with something different, Rock. You know, give us something different. We understand it. You think Cena has a vagina. We get it. You know, you think he's gay and that makes him less of a man. You know, we get it. We understand your take on this situation. Mm-hmm. Give us something more. You know, at least Cena's been delivering that bite, and I feel like Rock's not delivering it. And as we talked about 2 weeks ago with Graham, I mean, it probably is by design, I'm guessing. I don't think Rock would just be this outclassed. I don't think he would be this rusty. So I'm guessing it's partially by design.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Cena really needs to, because the fans already have their sides picked even before any of this build began. They had their sides picked the night after last year. So here, I think it's both sides. It's almost like an election. It's almost like these primaries. These primaries now we are seeing with, you know, Mitt Romney and Santorum and these guys. I think these two guys are trying to get the independent vote of the wrestlers who aren't. You have your Rock camp, which is people our age, except for you and I, and you have your Cena camp.
Well, in general, I'm in the Rock camp.
Yeah, well, I mean, I am too, but, and then you have your Cena camp, which is, you know, kids and girls, and then you have the other wrestling fans who you're not quite sure who they want to root for, so these two guys are trying to sway it. Cena's swaying it with the, look, I know a lot of you don't like me, but you know what, I've been here every day, you haven't heard me do anything bad, I come here all the time, and this guy shows up, says he's staying and doesn't, and I'm going to prove to you that I'm the lasting legacy of this company, and Rock says I'm pretty much wrestling a hermaphrodite. That's pretty much, you know.
Right, yeah.
So each guy is trying to, in essence, politic the independent wrestling vote as to which side, you know, how the crowd will sway April 1st. And I mentioned this to you a couple, I guess, our last headlines cast, in my opinion. It's going to be the 22-year anniversary of the Ultimate Challenge. And, of course, we had a similar scenario there, except not as – it was pretty much here. You know, Vince was not as there wasn't as much legwork with these two. It was pretty much, all right, here's two guys everybody likes.
Right.
Pick who you want. They didn't, you know, they didn't, they had the equal things. Both got beat up by Earthquake. Both were saved by Earthquake. You know the whole thing. I don't do it over again. But in this case, it's a little different because you feel like the fans are being given platforms and you get to pick which one you prefer. And I kind of dig it. But yeah, it seems like Cena's being given the edge.
Right
over the Rock, and
we said it made sense anyway because people are going to cheer the Rock no matter what. So if you're going to do a little extra work to try and get Cena some cheers and make him look strong because you know he's sticking around and the Rock isn't, you know, that's fine. And Rock's people are going to cheer the Rock whether, you know, whether Doty wants them to or not. And I don't think they really care the match itself if they cheer for Rock. I think they just want to make sure that, you know, Cena looks strong going forward.
Yes, exactly. So Cena's rap was. And it was good. I liked it. It had its, you know, he had his just, you know, he does his, you know, bodily organ jokes too. But overall, I thought it worked. I thought it was good. And then at the end of the night, we had Rock concert number 3. And as I mentioned before, it was good. It was funny. I think he took some shots below the belt. No pun intended. I just wanted the variety of songs. I thought that was the funny. You know, that's what made the other two really good. Obviously, the first one that he did before WrestleMania 19 is
right. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever top that. But
yeah, you'll never top that one.
The you know, stuff making fun of the Cleveland Virgins, I thought was funny.
Yeah. Yes.
And then it just kind of get a little repetitive. I know what you're saying. The part about his wife. Is that the part you thought was below the belt?
Yeah, I thought. Well, and that and the one about his mom, I thought was a little. You know, he didn't have to go there. The mom one was not as bad, but the wife one, I think.
See, I didn't mind the wife one because I think a lot of people were thinking the same thing. And we even talked about it in our chat.
Yeah.
You know, the live Raw chat, we were talking about it, how one week you have Cena making out with Eve or Eve makes out with him and whatever. And then the next week he's kissing his wife on national TV, you know, so it was kind of hokey. So it's just,
yeah.
Rock is basically doing what Cena did, calling out him, you know, reading the notes on his palm, basically just saying, yeah. Hey, you know, you're making out with this woman. And then the next week your wife's in the audience.
Right. Right. Yeah. But so you thought the one about his mom was a little,
nah, didn't bother me either.
No. Nah. All right. So in general, but
I thought the lady part stuff is old. That's all.
Yeah. All right. Well, otherwise, I thought it was funny. He did have some good lines, and he's actually a very good guitarist. I wish we would all give him credit.
I see why he just wanted to tell different stories to put over the match instead of doing different songs. But like you said, it was a little disappointing. I was hoping for the variety of songs.
Right. So
this is true. This is what happened. This is what you didn't see on Raw, but The Rock saw it. Rock saw Cena making out with Eve, grabbing on her thigh, tugging on her weave. Cena was having the time of his life. I guess he didn't tell her that he's got a wife. Less Rock. Everybody, less Rock.
So, I mean, that, you know, I thought that was a good shot. I like that one.
I mean, it was. I guess it was funny. I mean, I don't get. You know, it takes a lot. I guess it takes a lot to really offend anybody right now in the industry. So it's. I don't think it was that bad. But
obviously Cena was fine with it. I'm sure they ran that by him first. And like I said, that finally added a little personality to Rock or personal feel to Rock's attack on Cena. You know, like, all right, now we're getting somewhere. You know, it's like even Cena was just kind of laughing off the stuff about him. The lady parts, and I mean, after a while, it's just, it doesn't mean anything if you keep saying the same shit over and over. So it was nice to hear something fresh. So I dug that. The one thing I did not like, though, was how Rock closed the segment. I liked the singing, and I thought that was all interesting and whatnot, but the I really hated when he did the We Will Rock You. I thought that was just lame. He could not hang, obviously, with Freddie Mercury or Queen or anything at all. So.
Yeah,
And the crowd wasn't really following along with it, and I just thought it was that one part was just trying too hard.
Yeah, it was kind of overdoing it, but so there's the kind of abridged version. Now, one more quick thing. Again, I missed.
Well, actually, a couple things.
Yeah, there's a couple things. Yeah. There, I know those were the parts I got to see that I was able to see. What were some of the other involving a couple of the other feuds? Right, kind of to set us up for Monday night.
Brodus Clay returned.
Oh, of course, I missed that. Damn it.
Backstage, Zach and Eve had a little reunion, kind of, and Eve basically apologized, and they set up a dinner date, and then later Zach was tweeting that she blew him off. So this is a little minor continuance of that storyline. Mm-hmm. And Shawn Michaels is on, obviously, and him and Triple H did their thing again. And I think last week was fine. It was the same, kind of the same stuff, really. And just more teasing if Shawn's going to, you know, help out either way or play a role at all, and just more tweaking of Triple H and tweaking of Undertaker. And I like Shawn as a shit stirrer as opposed to just being like a straight down the middle legend guy in this match. Mm. I like that he's kind of stirring the pot a little bit. But the highlight of the night had to be the back and forth between Chris Jericho and CM Punk, where Jericho, you know, really got things, made things personal, bringing up that Punk's father was a pathetic drunk. And Punk kind of got caught off guard and slowly walked away with his head down. And so that was good. And Jericho teased him, saying, deep down, you crave alcohol. It's in your bloodlines. You can't, you know, one day you're going to slip up and drink, and you're going to be the same as your dad. So to get personal, I like that. You know, Punk's obviously fine with it. I know there were a few people in our chat that were kind of, you know, worried. Not worried, but took it a little personally as well. And I understand that if there's someone that has that in their past and has dealt with that in their family, I can see why they'd be a little skittish to, you know, see a storyline go that way. But, you know, I was okay with it. Do you think, though, this is a storyline they could have saved for a potential rematch? Like, do you think they had enough ammo to get to Mania the way things were? And then maybe Jericho loses and he gets desperate and breaks us out to get a rematch at Extreme Rules?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think this is kind of – I liked the whole better versus better, you know, who's the better guy and the title. See, here's another case where, for God's sakes, you got the WWE Championship on the line here. Punk is at the top. Jericho wants to go back to the top. He doesn't feel Punk deserves to be at the top. Leave it at that.
Right.
You know, you could deal with this, you know – Jericho can bottom feed when he loses. Throwing it out here now is simply overkilling, and now all of a sudden we're supposed to think about Punk's mental state. No one's buying that. Not right
well,
now.
Well, I'm buying it. I think the storyline's effective. I'm just wondering if it's wasted.
Well, no, it is wasted.
I don't think there's any, like, I don't think anyone's sitting here going, oh, here we go, I don't buy this shit. I think it's very real, only because the two guys doing it are great at making things real. And this is real because Punk's actually used this before in a storyline with Raven and Ring of Honor. So this whole thing you could feel the legitimacy of it. And I think it's great. And I think it's been well performed by both guys. And honestly, I think this is the best Jericho's been since he returned. So, you know, I'm fine with that. I'm just wondering if they blew the load that they didn't need to blow until after. Like, I think the feud could have had legs just, you know, fighting over the best in the world thing for now. And then Punk beats Jericho. Maybe it's a little fluky. And then Jericho comes out the next night and says, you know what? I want to rematch. Punk says, fuck you, I beat you already. And then Jericho says, well, I want to beat you in your hometown in front of your drunk dad. And then you kick off from there, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And yeah, it's effective. What I meant was, is that I think right now we don't need all this mental overload between these two guys. The promos leading in have just all been about who's better. And that's what people want to see going into this match, because I think a lot of people, and we've said this before, automatically think this is work rate wise probably the best match of the night. There's rumors that this may open the show. I certainly hope that doesn't happen. But I think that right now the feud is now on complete overdrive. But here's the problem: if Punk ends up winning, and who knows, he might end up losing. Who the hell knows?
I think he's winning.
I think he's going to win too. But if they decide to switch it up and have him lose so that he can win it in Chicago, then maybe they're playing this whole his head's up his ass kind of thing because Jericho got into it. So maybe that's why they're doing it. Maybe they're setting up for Punk to lose on April 1st.
I think he should retain, because at this point, if Jericho's not staying around, I'm not really a fan of making him a one-month transitional champion that's not needed. I think you can get just as much effectiveness out of Punk just beating him twice. I know a few months back I thought Jericho should win, but that's when I thought he was sticking around. Now that he's not, I think Punk going in as champion, defending his family's honor, you know, is fine in Chicago. I think if they want to make him a legitimately strong, you know, real strong champion over the next year or so, I think just having him beat Jericho twice will be just as effective. Almost like Triple H and, you know, Foley in 2000. Mm-hmm. You know, was it hurt by any means that Foley lost to him every time? No, I think it helped make Triple H, you know, that much stronger. So I think it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens when that match ends in that April 2nd Raw the night after, and we'll see. We'll see if it can continue, if they can keep that up, and if they can continue this part of the storyline for another 4 weeks or 3 weeks up until, I think it's April 29th, I think, is Extreme Rules. And then go from there. So we'll see. I don't have a problem with the storyline, but yeah, they probably didn't need to use it right now. I was happy with the whole best versus best. Everyone knows it. It's almost like a shoot per se. And mm-hmm. I thought that was enough juice or sizzle to keep the crowd going. So
yeah, I agree.
I don't think it was necessary. I don't think it was necessary, but it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying it's like, you're right. It's not bad. They're doing it at all.
Right.
I think they could have
done it later.
Yeah. I think they got skittish, but they could have waited. They definitely could have waited.
You have a vagina.
That's what he should have said. So
yeah, no kidding.
Well, that's a Rock basically has been saying anyway.
Yeah.
But, exactly. All right. Well, it continued into this week's Raw, this, angle, because Jericho came out and apologized and said he was out of line bringing up his dad and you know, he shouldn't have gotten into that, and then said, so instead we're going to talk about your sister who's a drug addict and a drunk. And you know, and goes into more of, again, why Punk has a history of substance abuse, and it runs in his family, and he's going to fall eventually. And so, you know, more of the same from Jericho. I thought it was well done, and I thought Punk's been great with his reactions as well. I don't think he's overselling it. I don't think he's underselling it. I think he's, you know, he's Punk. So
right, exactly. No, he's done a good job. He's rock solid.
Is that match, you know, it's funny. Well, I shouldn't even ask you this, what match you're looking most forward to at WrestleMania. But this is, from an in-ring perspective, this is going to be top of the line, right?
Oh, absolutely. We've said a lot of things, and it's good that we're continuing kind of this stream of consciousness about all these matches. Each of these matches has a different foundation.
I was just about to say that. They all have something different you're looking forward to. It's like...
Exactly.
You know, Triple H, Taker, you're looking forward to, can they top last year, the spectacle, what'll Shawn do, you know, how will they blade, you know, you're looking forward to that brawl.
Right.
With Jericho, Punk, you're looking forward to a great classic wrestling match between two guys that can really put together a good mat-based match.
Right.
And with Roxina, you're looking forward to that all-time epic, you know, what are these two guys, this historical match going to drag out? And then even kind of Sheamus, Daniel Bryan's on the periphery, and you're kind of like, oh, what, you know, are they gonna have Sheamus squash him? Are they gonna make Brian look strong in the loss? And, you know, how, what are they gonna do? And I think there's no doubt Sheamus is winning. And next week we'll do more of a formal WrestleMania preview heading into
right.
the show, but
right.
I still think Sheamus is gonna win. I know I've seen some people think that Brian may retain, but I really think Sheamus is gonna win, because I think they want to get back to showing that the Rumble winner, because the last time the Rumble winner, it's been a while, right, since they've won. Have we talked about this?
Yeah, we talked about this
07?
Last time. No, because '07 Taker beat Batista.
Yeah, I think that was the last time.
Speaking of Taker, yeah, and speaking of Taker and Batista, if I were Sheamus and if I were Daniel Bryan, I would go into this show
with
the philosophy the two of them had, that I'm so happy that we're just some other match on the show and everybody else is getting all these props.
I really hope they don't open with it like they did last year. I hope they at least put him in the middle, and like I said, I'd be fine with a Sheamus squash, because I think it would really put him over. And then you get Bryan a longer rematch at Extreme Rules, but I'm also a fan if they let him go for, you know, 15 minutes. And, you know, Bryan getting squashed isn't as likely now as it was like 2 months ago, probably, because 2 months ago it looked like he was just hanging on to Mania because there was no other options. But now it looks like they're actually behind him as a heel with all the, you know, AJ stuff, and he gets a lot of TV time and a lot of promo time. So he doesn't look, he's, you know, in December, January, he looked like that Rey Mysterio 2006 level of title reign. But now, to me, he's been booked a little more strongly.
Yeah, and we'll have a couple of stories about him in our news segment later. So, because some interesting out of the ring or off camera developments in his life may precipitate something on camera. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on during our news and notes segment. I think that I definitely think that each match has a little something for everybody. And Sheamus and Daniel Bryan have really amped up the foundation of their match over the last couple weeks. I felt like it was kind of, you know, dead in the water, but they've definitely kind of gotten back. And the other thing I've liked, well, I have another opinion about Raw specifically, and we'll get to that at the end of we'll talk about it. But I've liked what they've done with at least the setup of Raw over the last few weeks. But all right, so that was a part that I missed. I actually caught Raw right.
Did you see the Cody Rhodes stuff?
I did not see the Cody Rhodes
stuff. Okay, well, let me talk about that quick, because I want to get your take on it. Big Show and Kane fought, and Cody came out to ringside and watched. He was kind of mocking Show, and Kane ended up winning. After Cody got involved, Kane hit the choke slam. So then Cody came in, hit the Beautiful Disaster, handcuffed Show to the ropes, put on boxing gloves, and reenacted the beating of Floyd Mayweather gave him at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. It was punching him and stomping him with the gloves on and everything. So do you think they're going to make this a boxing match at Mania?
Oh, God. A boxing match for the Intercontinental title? I hope not.
Okay, so you don't think it? You think they were just doing that as a one-time so he can continue to rub in the Mania?
Yeah.
Now, yep, I talked to Jordan Duncan about this. I think the boxing match wouldn't be a bad idea because the way this feud has been booked, it looks like Show needs to go over, right? He's been humiliated left and right.
Yep.
It's something they could open the show with. Maybe Show goes over and wins the IC title. But you don't want to make Cody look weak. You've done such a good job of building him up so well. Having him lose in a boxing match doesn't really hurt him because what you can do is come back next month and have Cody regain the title in a wrestling match, and that's how you keep him strong. So if Show is going to win, I'd almost prefer they do a gimmick match and have Show just knock him out because there's no shame in that. I mean, him losing to a guy that they've put over as having a lethal punch over the last 4 years, to me, that's fine booking. But, you know, see, I hope they don't do something crazy like Show just beats on him, hits a chokeslam, and pins him for the title. I mean, it would make sense storyline-wise, but I hate to see Cody really get taken by, you know, like that.
Well, and there's also the thinking that Cody doesn't lose anyway. That Show is just going
to
put him over.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, but it just, this feud doesn't seem to go that way. Your Show hasn't gotten anything in.
Yeah, that's true. I never realized. It's funny because you don't really think about him. Show's been in so many Manias. You never even think that he's, you know, he's had so many struggles, but you know, I think that it's not a bad. You can't have everybody win. I mean, we know that we've had that. We always talk about that WrestleMania is the happy endings pay per view. But you know what? Some heels have to win, and if you're going to have both faces win the title matches, and obviously, if Rock does end up winning this match, we'll get to more about Rock Cena's future during the news. The news and notes segment tonight's pretty juicy. I hope you all enjoy it. Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff. But if Rock, who in essence is a face because he is in his hometown, mm-hmm. you don't want to have nine faces win. Some right. heel has to lose a win somewhere, and he is the perfect heel to win because he's the one who's continuing his upswing.
Right.
And with a lot of stuff going that's going to happen throughout 2012, he's a guy that you want keeping strong. You know, mm-hmm. Big Show. Look, I love Big Show. The guy's he's a trooper. In a roundabout way, he's almost like a 500-pound Tito Santana. He's just there for you. Whatever you need him to do, if he's going to look like a dope, he'll look like a dope. If he wins, he wins. If he's, you know, he's right. a guy that...
And I agree, and I want Cody to win. I'm just afraid the way this whole feud's been booked is that it's setting up for a Big Show quick revenge.
Mm. I could see that happening somewhere down the road. Well, then what are you going to do then? No, you're not going to tell us. So let us talk. It's not like that. What pay-per-view was it? Remember what WrestleMania was when they did the Vince piece? Was it 25? When they did the 30 for 30 piece? Not 30 for 30. What is that? E60 or whatever it is. Remember they did that piece?
Oh, yeah.
And Vince was there and he threw everybody out of the... I think it was 25 because I remember they mentioned Shawn and Taker. So I think it was before 25. But anyway, you really have to decide whether or not Cody is going to go over. I think he is, but we'll get to picks next week. So I don't think it's that big a deal whether or not he wins or loses, because a heel's going to have to win somewhere on this show. Every feud, well, obviously two of the big matches don't involve any heels, and that's, of course, The Cell and Cena Rock, depending on your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Every other match involving a good guy and a bad guy, it seems like every feud is leaning towards a good guy winning, and you're gonna have to have a bad guy win somewhere. And I think Cody is that guy, but we'll get to the picks next week. But
okay.
If we do that's not a bad school of thought. If you are gonna have Cody lose, that's probably a good school of thought, is to have some kind of a goofy gimmick. You could have Mayweather show up, but then maybe his ankle bracelet will explode or something if he walks through the stadium. So, but, you know, it's interesting to see. I'll be curious. I'd be curious to see if Mayweather shows up, you know, if he ends up being a heel and helps train, you know, is in Cody's corner. Like, that would be cool.
Right.
You know, really pump it up. Make it so extravagant. I mean, you've talked about it. If they want this show to suddenly be this big circus of celebrities and carnival atmosphere, then, you know, then don't hold back.
Right.
But obviously, you know, Mayweather's situations is impeding that. But, you know, so in answer to your question, I don't think they'll do a boxing match, but yours and Jordan's thinking on a boxing match makes sense if they do it.
Right.
So it works. That works. I just don't think they will. But if they do, that's probably why.
Okay.
So we'll see. Depends. So that part I missed. When I finally got put it on, it was at this point, the whole situation with Otunga, who had that weird looking like Chris Masters knockoff open. What was that all about?
Still, I don't know. I love the guy. I don't know. He's definitely become one of my guilty pleasures.
He is. He's Clarence Mason on steroids. And boy, does he look big. Wow. He looks very big. Speaking of, you know, I keep it a running joke over our shows, but I'll tell you that he was looking gigantic. So I don't know if he is though or not. He'd be a waste to have him take. I mean, he does a lot in terms of in the ring, but I'm digging Santino right now. I really am. I think he's a breath of fresh air. I like that he's a U.S. champion. He kind of, you know, for all the things he's done over the last couple of years, he kind of deserves to have a belt. We've talked about guys being shunted or kind of kicked to the curb to a certain extent. The Miz is obviously a big one, but I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I don't know if you've been thinking the same way I have, but I really do feel like Dolph Ziggler is really taking a back seat. I'm talking like beyond the back seat and sitting in the trunk.
Well, I mean, we talked about this, about him just getting the wrong push at the wrong time. Mm. And how I'm really hoping he will get pushed back up after Mania. Although, I don't know if you have any of the news bits about the post-Mania SmackDown feud.
Did not see anything about
okay,
that.
Okay, well, there's a lot of house show cards out there showing Sheamus versus Christian. I think overseas and stuff for the title. So it looks like that's going to be the title feud coming out of Mania. So maybe Dolph will not get that immediate bump. Because I think Jericho and then other newcomers will be involved in the title feud on Raw. So I'm not sure where Ziggler goes, honestly, from here.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Hopefully they resurrect him at some point. Hopefully they don't leave him, you know, flailing for too long. And even if they put the tag titles on him and Swagger and let them be dominant for a while, something, you know, something to help put him over some more. But I think, do you think Miz is going to be involved in the main event or no? Do you think they're going to stick him in this tag match?
You mean, does he run out during the scene? I hope not. You know, leave that alone.
Well, if he does, if he has to, if they want to do it to complete the story that they've been setting up, I really hope he just comes out. Yeah, in the beginning, they beat the shit out of him and then he leaves. You know, I hope he doesn't like play a role in the outcome of the match in any way.
No, you don't want that. You don't want that.
But I think it's going to happen. This everything he's been saying about getting screwed, going from you know, the main event to not even being on the show, and then him wanting to make his mark. It just, to me, it just makes sense that they're going to do this.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And you know, Cena or not Cena, Miz kind of has been, you know, it's unfortunate what happened to him because man, he carried the first, and we talked about it right as our show, you know, as we started our podcast last year, you know. Miz carried the first, what, like 5 months of the year last year, and something happened over the summer. Well, Punk happened over the summer.
Right.
And
everything.
It
just made Miz look stale by comparison.
Yeah, exactly, which is weird because he's really not stale. But no. So, all right. So then.
Well, we can buzz through some of this. I mean, Cena and Henry, I still don't get why they took the chance with Cena again.
I know,
they're really risking it. And what's the deal? Was this car accident thing legitimate? I mean,
yeah.
I know it was picked up by Philly news stations and everything, so I'm guessing was.
No, there was. I saw pictures. There was a picture of Cena and of Cena's car, I guess, in this 4x10 wheeler or whatever. I don't even know how to explain a truck.
I've never heard a car references a 4x10 wheeler.
18 wheeler or whatever. I was trying to think how many wheels is on a big truck. 18
wheeler. 2x4x10,
8x4, hashtag truck. And yes. So, they showed a picture of the truck and his car, and people said, I don't think it was a fake picture. Right. I mean, why would you fake it? That makes no sense. You know?
That's, I mean, well, I can see why if there was no picture that it could maybe be faked. But
right. But I mean, but why would you fake a picture? I mean, you see Cena and, you know, apparently he did frazzle. But I mean, you get rear-ended by a truck that big. Yeah. I guess anybody would get, no matter who you are.
So. By a 4x8x10 wheeler.
But 8x10 with 62 wheels and hashtag truck. So
but I mean, if you're going to, you know, if that actually happened and he's fine, I'm glad they used it. I think it, you know, adds a little bit of realism to things and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And, but I still don't get why they risked him in a match with
another
guy, Henry. But and then Rock comes out after and hits Henry with a rock bottom to kind of set.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. They did it simply so both of them could hit their finishers on a massively big guy.
Right.
You know, that's all it was.
And Rock did another thing earlier too with his promo outside, similar like he did in Boston. So
well, that's what I wanted to bring up. Okay. I'm done with these. All right, enough's enough now. It's fine. All right, every city where I have a lady part this is a very Attitude Era-ish tactic with the whole outside. And I mean, the only part of it that was cool was when they had the picture of him at 12, standing in front of the Rocky statue. That was kind of cool.
So what do you want to see them do next week with those two guys?
I don't know, but you know, you know what? Maybe for the last Raw, let's flip the switch. Let's have Cena do the dumb jokes, and let's let Rock be serious for once. Instead of I'm gonna rip your throat out, ha ha ha, you have a pussy. You know what I mean? Like it's just that one moment. What was it, like 2 or 3 weeks ago when he did the whole, you know, when I'm so serious, I'm gonna rip your throat out, and you're hermaphrodite, ha ha ha, and leave.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's not what we want. Rock.
And do you want a pull apart brawl? Should they not touch each other? Do you want to see a contract signing? Do you want, you know, I mean, what do you think?
Oh God, the last thing we need to see is another dumb contract signing. That I certainly don't want. Just one more in the ring. No, I don't want them touching each other. We don't want to pull apart brawl. We don't want that stuff. That kind of ruins the.
Do you think it would almost be better if neither of them were even on? And because they're going to have the hour show before Raw, you know, the countdown special. And then how about if they both cut promos? I know you're risking pissing off the live crowd. I was going to say both cut like pre-recorded studio promos, just talking about the importance of the match to their careers.
Well,
and then leave the rest of the show to build up all the other matches.
Well, let's turn back the clock to the Raw before WrestleMania 17. I forgot who was there. Somebody was there.
Well,
oh,
that was
yeah,
actually the SmackDown there. Before. But,
or SmackDown.
Yeah, I see where you're going. You could definitely do that.
And you sat through that paint drying debacle of the two of them. Of what we're talking about is, for those that were obviously going into the whole, besides the fact that we had to listen to My Way by by Limp Bizkit 365 times, it was that sit-down JR promo with Rock and Stone Cold led heading into the title match. And it seemed long on TV. I could imagine if you're sitting in the arena what it was like. And I don't know if I agree with you that I don't know if you want to burn out the live crowd for that. I don't mind the two of them in the right. Maybe you just have a. I almost think that, you know what? I know this may sound crazy. They're not going to do it. They've already said they're going to have one more in-ring confrontation. I'm probably thinking outside the box here, but you know, you gave Cena a warm-up match last week.
No, I wouldn't waste it. I would just.
Well, he's already wrestled. He wrestled Survivor Series. What are you wasting?
Yeah, and that was already a mistake. I wouldn't have him just wrestle someone random. That takes away the special feel. You've come this far. I wouldn't have him wrestle some squash match on Raw before Mania.
Okay.
I don't think we need that at all. I think you just do. I don't even know if they have to even be together. I think even separate sit down promos, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, just let them talk really realistically. And I think that combined with the hour show that they're going to run a million times all week is plenty of build. I think they've hyped that match. They've got all the buys they're going to get out of that match. I think it's maybe they should focus on the rest of the card this week on Raw.
Oh, I have no problem with that at all. Now we'll talk about the other big feud that took up a lot of time, this past on Monday night about, I don't know how much further they can go with it, but
no, we'll do that now. Let's just...
show. Okay. So yeah, Cena won. We did that. What else? There, Sheamus, Miz wrestled, and it was more of that, and then tag match.
Swagger and Ziggler were added to Team Laurinaitis.
Yeah. And then the SmackDown, when we get to the SmackDown spoilers, yep. Teddy edits a couple guys too. So, all right, let's talk about the end of the night promo.
We will never, however, use the words shit, fuck, goddamn, Jesus Christ, faggot, or any other racial or sexual slurs. Now then, as it pertains to video, we promise there will be less dick references.
Oh, shit.
Watch your fucking mouth.
Well, fuck me.
God damn it. Fuck.
It's still one of my favorite moments of all time on Raw. God, that was awesome.
I almost like the beefed version better.
Well, the beef version makes it even funnier because, but you're reading their, you see their mouths, you know they're actually swearing. It makes it even better. But, my favorite part of the whole promo was right at the end when Taker pretty much, you know, says to Triple H, yeah, Shawn is better than you. And they do this wide shot, and the two of them, Triple H has that old, like, you know, that, like, almost, like
time about, to like, play the game!
Yeah, like I pretty much felt about 4 hours ago at work, but and then Shawn had that look like, oh, well, yeah, I guess I am, aren't I?
Yeah, yeah. You know? Shawn Smirk.
That was awesome.
Shawn Smirk definitely sold that whole segment. That was the best part of that segment.
Yeah, and Shawn looks at Hunter like, oh, what the fuck you want from me?
Yeah.
He said it, not
true.
Me.
Yeah, that's true. And I like that. I like that jab by Taker too. Like, you know, that's the stuff that's how you really get the Triple H. You know, his characters is you say shit like that. So that was a good little dig that Taker got in. And you know, it almost makes
the one at the end. Yeah,
yeah. This would almost be a great match booking wise if it was a triple threat. The way they've been building it up.
But, no kidding.
You know, they're really putting Sean, you know, Sean over as a, you know, is he or isn't he gonna get involved? And I think they've, you know, they built this pretty well, and it's intriguing enough. And obviously, the only thing that hurts it is deep down, you know, they're not gonna end the streak. I don't think so anyway. So, you know, if there was a little more mystery, I think this would be even better. But you know, Sean's probably not gonna do anything. He's probably gonna end up calling it down the middle. Or, well, I can go through. I guess there are a lot of scenarios. This is a story where we know how it's gonna end. But seeing how it's going to play out to that end is the intriguing part, I guess. Is
right. Well, exactly. Because – and that's a problem. And I said this – we talked about this a couple weeks ago as well when we were talking about booking Taker for the – you know, Taker's yearly feud is the streak.
Right.
And he's never going to lose. So where is the mystery? You're exactly right. Is this match simply to entertain us? I mean, as a Triple H fan, should I sit down – am I going to sit down and go, man – tonight's the night. It's going to end. No, unless I was 11, you know, or something.
Well, you did last year. I can play the tape back.
Last year, I did think he was going to, the streak was going to be broken. No, last year I did. This year, I don't. And watch, he'll lose. But either way, it's going to, either way, it'll end up being, I think,
I'm going to put you on the spot right here. Do they bleed?
Yes.
Okay. So you think they're going to break the policy and bleed here?
I think they're going to break the policy. You know what? When it comes to Hunter and Taker, there is no policy.
Just curious. I mean, they didn't bleed last year, so I wasn't sure.
There is no policy.
Okay.
Not tonight. You can't. These two guys. This is where the sell comes. And I have an interest. Another great news story we're going to bring up in a little bit talks about future pay per view gimmicks, and I think it has an effect on the sell. But
do you think anyone goes off the top?
No.
Okay.
No. Those two guys were never meant to do that.
Okay.
And Sean's not going to do it, obviously. He would.
Not even a wild bump. Could you see Triple H taking a like Bad Blood-esque?
Oh, where he fell off the – like Sean did on the
– Yeah, kind of hanging off the side and falls through a table. Or even like Rikishi off the top but onto like a staging more than anything.
Staging area. Maybe. Depends how they lay the cell out.
Yeah.
No one knows that yet. I remember two years ago, somebody had a picture – of what the set was going to look like ahead of time. I think it was 26. But anyway, if we knew how the cell was going to be laid out and there was – I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a stage near there, so who knows. But, yeah, I could see like one of them – I could see the two of them fighting on the – both of them holding the wall and one of them lets go. But like a Foley King of the Ring thing, no, that's not going to happen. The bleeding, I definitely think they're going to do. Because, yeah, I'm sorry, as much as people get pissed off at it, no, when it comes to the two of them, there is no problem.
I don't think anyone would be pissed. I think people would be excited if they did it. I was just curious if they were going
to. Yeah, no, when it comes, you know it as well as anybody. When it comes to the two of them, the three of them, Sean included, there is no policy.
The only thing that may sway them, though, is that there is going to be a lot of mainstream media coverage, and you know they've worked so hard to kind of eradicate that kind of thing. So I'm wondering if they would want to do it with so many eyeballs planted on them.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. But he did book a sell, so you know
they can do without it. I mean, you know, I think they can do an effective sell match. Those two, they did an effective brawl without Bloodline. I mean, I personally want to see it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that'll dictate whether the match is good or not. So
no, I don't think so either. But you were just asking straight blood, and I say yes.
Okay.
The media part of it, yeah, may come into play and they may not. But and I love the statistic. You know, there have been 24 sell matches. The two of them have been in 19 combined. And I think they've each only lost once.
Mm.
And they've never faced each
other. I can't believe they've been
And they've both beaten Sean in cells.
Yes. I can't believe they've been in that many. That's ludicrous.
It is crazy. Oh, you forget the Taker's... Well, Hunter's last one was when he lost to Batista at Vengeance. He's been in a couple. I'm sorry. There was the DX match, the tag, and then there was... The
Evolution.
Priceless.
Legacy, yeah.
Legacy, the legacy one. All right, so he's been in a couple. And Taker's last one was that mess against Kane 2 years ago, which was truly hideous, right? He wasn't in one last year, right? No, he wasn't here last year. So yeah, 2 years ago when he was champ and he lost to Kane. That was the last time he was in a cell. But they've each only lost one, and they've both beaten Sean, which I think is pretty funny, in cells. What, 7 years apart? So... combined, what, over an hour and 20 minutes, combined the two matches. So I like the promo. I love the dig at the end. And Sean, once again, hello, promo storyline advancement 101, the smirk. The camera was right there. Triple H looked like he's about to pop a vein. And Sean has it look like, yeah, well, yeah, I am. And then he looks at Thunder like, well, I didn't say it. He did. It's awesome. That's Sean. Promo / storyline advancement 101. Tampa, wherever the next development's going to be, watch that. That's how you advance a storyline without overdoing it.
Right.
That's why the guy's great. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. That's why all three of them are going to be Hall of Famers. Well, one and the other two are going to be Hall of Famers, too, for the same reason. Their promos have been concise. Their promos have been they haven't stumbled. They've been smooth. Taker, when he first came back, was a little shaky, but, you know, he had been on camera in 11 months. But, yeah, it's just been great. And I'm yes, I am looking forward to it. It is the match I'm looking forward to the most. I don't deny it. No surprise to anybody in PTB Nation, but I am looking forward to Punk and Jericho as well. But that one, just because there is an intrigue, at least in how it maps out. I actually texted our friend John, and I said, "Map out this match for me." And he gave me this whole like 15 text thing on how it was going to work, and he had the opinion that this might be it for Taker. That he wins this match.
I don't think so.
He's done.
Depends how banged up. I mean, if he really gets fucked up, then yes. But I don't think. I don't know. I don't think he's done just yet. As long as he comes out of this healthy.
Mm. Well, as we said last week or 2 weeks ago, he still has one Mania match left in him, or at least one Mania opponent left in him. Let's put it that way, and we know who that is. And that,
exactly.
That
I can't see him retiring without getting the Cena money match.
Getting the Cena money match. Because, again, there is a guy, you know, hey, look, I love Hunter just as much as anybody else, just as much as Wilkie. But, you know, he's not going to win April 1st. Cena, I'm sorry. You say it yourself. He is the New England Patriots of is Taker Eli Manning, or is Cena going to be the one to do it? You with Cena, you just don't know. So that's one thing. So I told John, I like your layout for how the match is going to go. He got it. He thought it was going to be very bloody. That's why I got it in my head. But I don't think it's going to – I don't think that'll be it for Taker.
Okay.
The problem you have is Rock and Cena is such a big match, you're afraid of overshadowing that with anything else.
I don't think they will, because I think that's going to sell its own moment. I mean, this is the first time in a while. Like, you look at, like, 19 and even 17, and you've had shows with a lot of big matches. But I think we haven't had really a show with – three intriguing matches like this, where I think the crowd will be up for all of them on their own.
Right. Okay. No, I agree. Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, we'll save more Mania talk for next week as far as matches go. Let me just run through SmackDown quick, and then we can start getting to the news, because we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, okay.
So SmackDown was in Newark, New Jersey. Dark match. Jinder Mahal defeated Alex Riley in the Battle of the Bottom Feeders. And then on the SmackDown proper, Daniel Bryan and AJ opened the show. Bryan got mass defeat from the crowd. He tells AJ to explain why she loves him. Sheamus came out, interrupted the segment, declared that he would win the world title. So nothing much going on there. Mark Henry squashed R-Truth. Yakazuma is announced for the WWE Hall of Fame officially. So I'm guessing he's our last entrant.
Yes.
Great Khali and Zack Ryder were announced for Team Teddy Long at WrestleMania. So it looks like Zack's going to be in the match after all.
Okay.
AJ defeated Brie Bella after a distraction from Daniel Bryan. Zack Ryder defeated Jack Swagger. We get a video from earlier in the day with Cody Rhodes, where he guarantees a win over Big Show at WrestleMania, but leaves so he can catch his plane. And, of course, that was just a setup, because Cody interfered again during a Big Show-Kane match. And Show chased Cody through the crowd, but then Randy Orton slid in and hit Kane with an RKO to pump up their oft-forgotten Mania match, which we haven't even mentioned, I don't think, ever.
I know.
Brodus Clay was on, defeated Heath Slater. And I'm wondering, do you think he's going to get added to Team Teddy? I mean, how many guys do we have on each team at this point? I have no idea.
Five. I think I have. Let me double check our news list and see if I have a. I believe I have an official. I think I have a story about it. Maybe I don't. No, I thought I did. No, I don't. I thought I had a story. We could find one real quick though. But
okay.
I thought I had a story where the teams are set up. But if not,
I think there's maybe four or five guys on each right now. I know it's Otunga, Ziggler, Swagger. Is Christian definitely on? Yeah, Christian's already on. Del Rio?
Christian's on the team. No.
Okay. So I'm guessing he's going to be on at some point, and maybe Ray still.
You need him? What if he falls wrong, and then he's out for the rest of the year?
Yeah, but I mean, you can have him stand in the apron and do one spot. 6'9", drop the dime, and that's it. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to do much.
Did you know? Did you realize you just made a rhyme? You didn't even know it.
Of course.
619 dropped the dime. Very nice.
Of course I did.
Serendipitous kind of goes with that. And Moadib.
And then backstage, they had another backstage with Eve and Zach. Christian came off a commentary. Dolph Ziggler came out with Johnny Ace and Otunga. Great Khali came out with Teddy, and they were supposed to have a match. Ziggler applied the sleeper, so Johnny Ace called for the bell, but Teddy restarts the match, threatens to count out Ziggler, and then he does. And then Santino and Kofi take care of Ziggler and toss him back in the ring, and Khali hits him with the chop. That's right. Well, we didn't do the other team. Never mind.
Yeah.
Main event, Punk and Sheamus defeated Daniel Bryan and The Miz. Sheamus pinned The Miz. So, there you go.
It's almost, they're almost kind of booking him MVP-esque.
Right.
Where he's like on this hideous losing streak.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never really for losing streak gimmicks because they never really cash in on them correctly, but we'll see. We'll see where Miz goes. I still maintain that he needs some time off and then he needs to go to SmackDown, but we'll see.
Right. No, I agree. I think he needs a breather, too. Or maybe he'll get, so maybe he'll, maybe. Yeah, exactly. The master of the segue. There we go. We got a great news and notes segment for you. No, volume of stories we've had, but these stories are all just so juicy. And for once, it's first time in a while that we actually want to save some time for the sports portion of the headline show because we had a lot happened today in a very small period of time. So, but first we'll take a break from our good friends at WrestleChat.net because.
Whatsoever for your action.
The only remorse I got is that I didn't hit him harder with that steel chair. Bret Hart runs around talking about everybody screwing him. Hell, for the past 7 years I've been screwed and it's the same old song. How come when Shawn Michaels hurts his knee, you make a video out of him? How come when Shawn Michaels gets sick, you tell the world that he's got the flu? Well, when I went to the Final Four, I was sick as a dog and I had a blowed out knee. Let me ask you a question. How many one-legged people could go 25 minutes with three of the top wrestlers in the world? None. Stone Cold Steve Austin went out there and did just that. And I ain't making fun of no one-legged people. I'm sitting here just trying to make a point. As far as I'm concerned, I truly am the World Wrestling Federation champion, and can't nobody tell me different. Not you or anybody. As far as a submission match, it's a bunch of bull. Bret Hart, he's supposed to be the big technician, the sharpshooter. Big deal. I don't know a whole lot of a couple of submission moves, but it doesn't matter because I'll beat the hell out of Bret Hart. And as far as Ken Shamrock says on TV the other day, oh, I don't know. Bret Hart's a better technician, but Stone Cold ain't got no quit in him. Well, you hit the nail right on the head, son, because I ain't got no quit in me at all. And you can bet your bottom dollar that Stone Cold ain't gonna look at the referee and say, I quit. I submit. I've had too much. There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Why all this? Why are you so...
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long. And is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Beck. That's WrestleChat.net. Wrestle Chat, it's where it's at.
WrestleChat.net is your home for everything pro wrestling. Ring of Honor. Our man is still the champ, right? Eddie Edwards, didn't he?
No. David Richards, still champ.
David Richards. Oh, because I saw a tweet that said Eddie Edwards was defending his title against maybe he's got one of the other belts. I haven't had a chance to really bone up on my Ring of Honor.
We know you don't understand Twitter, so you were probably looking at something from last year.
You're probably right. yeah. Anyway, Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE, all the news and notes you need, and we're going to give you a lot of them right now. They have a great message board, and of course their place to be, place to be podcast is on the right side of the page. The PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan, and their podcast as well. The Champ and his announcer, Jeff Peck, is obviously Alberto Del Rio, and Eric Gargiulo is Ricardo Rodriguez. So WrestleChat.net is your home for everything pro wrestling. We also want, of course, take time out, because we haven't done it in the last couple weeks, to talk about our man, Graham Cawthon, and his History of WWE.com website. All the great reviews, results from all over the world, pretty much since the beginning of time. All of them right fresh from his bathroom wallpaper. And, you know, great columns. There used to be a nice cachet. I have to get on him because he used to have a good cachet of pay-per-view posters, but the last few years have been a little thin. I gotta get on him about that. But otherwise, it is an outstanding site. History of WWE.com, purveyed by our man, Graham Cawthon. So.
And I also wanted to take a minute to update Place to Be Nation that the Place to Be podcast is now available on Stitcher streaming radio. You can pick that up at Stitcher.com or on your iPhone, iPad, or other smartphones. And other devices there. I'm trying to get things straightened out, so I don't fully understand how it works. I know there's at least the most recent episode will always be streaming on there, and I'm trying to find out if there's going to be an archive. But, you know, if you're at the gym, you're on the road, and you're not able to download it, you just want to play it, just go to Stitcher or download the Stitcher app, search P2B or Place to Be podcast, and it'll come right up. You can load it into your favorites, and it'll stream the most recent episode from there. So please check us out on Stitcher radio app, Stitcher streaming radio, as well as at our website and Facebook page, too.
Okay, and all right. So, it is now time for your news and notes segment, brought to you by...
Bitter. Why does bitterness? You treat me like a dog and you expect me to smile. You remind me of a jackass.
What a great promo, by the way. And that was funny, because that was one of the least hyped WrestleManias. That was like, honestly, you know, the big stadium feel, that all that stuff didn't really kick off till 23, but 13 was like the last one that really wasn't built up like a Mania. They didn't have all that hype behind it. It almost felt like another pay-per-view.
Right.
But damn, that build for that match was so good. And then that promo,
awesome.
That is what we need from Cena and The Rock this Monday, is what Austin did there. Because that one promo got me jacked to go watch that match again. I mean, that was just one of many that they did leading up to that match. So, I mean, just great stuff.
Yes. Speaking of, I actually just went to Stitcher.com and, you can download it. It's for Android, and it's for all sorts of iPads, everything. It all depends on what of course you have. So, and it has some stuff, you know, has different categories at the bottom of the page: public radio, comedy shows, sports news, and of course, you can find us now there as well. Mm-hmm. So, that's another outlet to expand the always growing PTB Nation. All right, it is time now for the news and notes segment. And again, normally we do the WrestleMania stuff separate, but I kind of threw everything into a mishmash here, so we'll go back and forth. All right, the first story obviously is one that that we need to bring first because it's the big news, and that is, of course, this special one-hour, once-in-a-lifetime event that's going to be happening pretty much all next week. So here is the schedule. I'm going to be as quick as I can, depending on the networks. All right. Of course, it premieres Monday night at 8 o'clock on USA right before Raw.
And just to quickly explain once again what this is, they're doing a one-hour UFC boxing on Showtime, HBO, you know, 24/7, HBO, Hard Knocks kind of thing, where they're showing the training, what they're doing to prepare for the match, promos from each, interviews with each. And I'm really digging this concept. I know you had a little bit of a beef with it, but I think it's great. I think this is exactly what they need to add a little bit more legitimacy and a little bit more real feel to this match. And, you know, I hope they do the thing where they follow them around for the 24 hours leading up to it or something. And I just think it's a good idea. I think this is the new way a lot of major promotion is going for big time fights and games and seasons, and I think this is the way to go. I hope they do this stuff more often as we go forward.
I would like to see them do it if they really want to get mainstream again. I like to see them do it for the other feuds, maybe not an hour, but you know, who's to say CM Punk doesn't deserve a
eventually
tattoo,
but you don't want to overdo it, and you just want to, I think you do want to use it just for big matches to really add that feel. I think if you do it for every feud match, it's going to get old. So I'm cool with them doing it for something like this, like us, to see how it goes. But I'm intrigued to watch it. I'm excited to watch it. I think they're gonna do a good job. And you know, if there's one thing you can trust with that company at all times, it is their production. That never wanes. So like this, you know, is gonna be very well produced.
Right. And we'll watch it Monday night and we'll get your opinions. Maybe you could post, maybe we'll do a little thread up on our Facebook page. Yeah. Maybe we'll read some comments next week. All right. So it's on Monday night, 8 o'clock on the USA Network. Tuesday night, it's on at 7 on Clue, CLOO, which is, it's weird they're putting it on there. I think they're just putting it on every network that's owned by NBC.
Yeah, basically.
Matter if
they're running this thing like fucking crazy. And that's good. They should.
Yeah, Clue is my dad actually watches Clue. It's a channel of like it's a channel of all like kind of detective and cop shows. In fact, just to bring you back to Flash from the Past, my PIC, they do a lot of Murder, She Wrote on that network.
Nice.
So.
How about any Columbo and a Perot?
Yes. Midsummer Murders. All right. Then Wednesday, for all you Spanish-speaking fans, it'll be on Univision.
like Fazio, apparently.
It's on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock and at 12:30 a.m. on Univision.
Okay.
And HD. Then Thursday. Yes, in HD. On Thursday, the 29th, it'll be on 6 a.m. on Style. Man, they really are stretching this thing, huh? Then at 8 o'clock on Moon 2. I don't know what that is.
That's also Spanish.
Is that Telemundo? I don't know if they're not the same channel. Yeah. And then 1 a.m. on E.
I think it's Telemundo's second network, like ESPN2.
Okay. Yeah. Then 1 a.m. on E. And that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's
that is good.
One. Yeah. That's a good one.
I agree.
Then next Friday, it's on 6 a.m. on NBC Sports, which is the former...
That's another big gain. I mean, you know, not that the network's like doing any gangbusters, but just to be on the NBC name is pretty good, even though it's 6 a.m. on a Friday. But.
Yeah, no, it is. I kind of wish we were able to do it. Mm-hmm. NBC Sport. Then 8 a.m. on Sci-Fi. Then 11 a.m. on Bravo. This is next Friday. Then 7 o'clock on Sci-Fi right before SmackDown.
Right. That's another good spot for it. I like it there.
And then 11 o'clock and then 11 at night on Univision again. Mm-hmm. Then next Saturday, and then Saturday, the day before WrestleMania, it's on 9 a.m. on USA, 6 p.m. on Mundo 2 again. And then 10, listen, this is awesome.
Yeah.
For those that, this is for you and I, because we missed the show from last year. 10 o'clock on G4, which is like the video game channel. But what they're doing from 12 to 10 leading up to that is the marathon of last year's Tough Enough, which is awesome. And they're doing it again at 11 a.m. That's at Central Time. But
yep.
Yep, and then Sunday, the day of WrestleMania, 8 a.m. on Oxygen. Funny.
10 a.m. on television for women. This is what you get.
Right after the midgets are playing basketball. Oh yes, there it is. Roxina and midgets playing basketball.
Yeah, we got to find out what episode it was, so we can make sure I DVR that one, so we can finally. It's funny because I was actually just searching YouTube for the clip and I couldn't find it. So maybe I'll DVR that particular episode and then I can grab the soundbite.
And then 10 a.m. on G4. And then noon on Clue again, and that's next Sunday. So it's on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 English-speaking air times, and 1, 2, 3, 4 Spanish-speaking air times.
The only thing I wish they would do is give it more of a mainstream slot on Sunday. It's really too bad they couldn't land on NBC or even USA on Sunday afternoon to really get that last push from Mania. I think that would have been a little more advantageous than burying it on Clue in their last airing.
And you know, to be honest with you, I don't know. Maybe there's an NHL game on, but what the fuck is NBC doing on a Sunday afternoon anyway?
No, put it on. I thought anyway. NHL Saturday. Don't they usually have games on Saturday? They don't do Sunday, do they?
No, they don't do. Depends.
Maybe
they do Saturdays. Yeah, they do Saturdays, but on Sunday, what the hell? I mean, they won't be doing that much because don't forget, and they're lucky because that's in between the Final Four because the national semis are the night before.
Yeah, so it just seems like maybe they should have went with more of a mainstream presence on that final day before.
Right. I mean, they end up doing the show on NBC.
Right.
But they do usually what is it like fourth a few months later? Why don't they just do it there too? So that's the only thing that I think they could have done. But otherwise, you really can't miss it. It's on all over the place. We're not going to reread it again, but if you want, WrestleChat.net has the schedule up there. So, but the first airing is 8 o'clock Monday night on USA right before Raw. And then it's also on again. The two times that we'll probably both remember, or most of our fans will remember, is 8 o'clock Monday night on USA and Friday night, 7 o'clock on Sci-Fi right before SmackDown. So there you go. If you don't remember any of the other weird times, you'll remember those two.
Right.
So, all right. Number two. Not often do we do TNA stories, but this one intrigued me. I'm just waiting for it to open up, hopefully.
I got to hear. Kurt Angle apologized for his earlier comments about Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels on Twitter. We noted earlier that Angle ranted about several topics on Twitter last night and said he became a superstar 1 year while it took Austin and Michaels 15. In typical Kurt Angle fashion, later in the afternoon, he apologized and said, I do want to apologize to Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin for my comment. Without them, I would never have had my opportunity in pro wrestling. And he also shit on JR, I think, and then apologized to him, too. So typical, probably drunken Kurt ranting and then realized how.
What is the matter with him?
Yeah, he's just.
You know. He's getting grizzled. He's turning into Jake.
He's getting grizzled. That's how he's always been. He runs his mouth and then he apologizes or claims his Twitter was hacked a week later. It's just.
by Kurt. Yeah, my midget's playing basketball.
That midget walked in my house and rigged my Twitter. Tweet midget things.
Okay. And all of a sudden, none of my windows are opening. But I know this story comes. This next one is
this
the up to date.
Always happens to me.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Here we go. That's finally opening. The updated list of, as we mentioned, the 2012 WWE Hall of Fame inductees. Here is your official list now. It's only six. A little one person less than normal this year. Mike Tyson, of course, announced on the WWE website today, and then put on the, and then obviously you'll see it on SmackDown Friday, and that is, of course, Yokozuna.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Simmons. Mil Mascaris, the unbelievably awesome Four Horsemen, and of course our headliner, the Rated R superstar Edge. Overall, does this go down as maybe the greatest class of all time?
It's gonna be hard to top 2004, but this is definitely star studded. It's kind of a little bit weaker towards the end. I mean, you know, it's Osyoko is a cool deal and everything, but I mean, you know, on a macro scale, not really. 2004 is such a loaded class, and even 2005, the Hogan, Piper, Orndorff, Sheik, like that was a pretty big class too. Jimmy Hart,
yeah.
So you know, it's good. It's a good one. I'm intrigued by it. I'm interested in it. But
well, I mean, the first two classes they had so many people because they had no one in 10 years or in 8 years that they were able to get away. But I like this class. Obviously, Horseman doesn't hurt.
What new story Yoko? Here? Who inducts Yoko? I mean, Rock would make the most sense, but if they don't want him there that night, if for whatever reason, I mean, you could always bring Rikishi in.
I really wish it was
Brett,
even
you get the Usos there if you have to. You know?
Yeah. I really wish it was Brett, though.
Brett would be cool, but he's denying it, right, you said?
Yeah, he is denying it, but that's kind of a bummer because, you know, obviously the two of them, their careers were serendipitous at least that 1 year, 93 to 94. They book in. It is, yeah, it is. Cool, because I can't come up with the snarky, cool rhymes that you did, so I need to stick with the long words. And my, you know, 4x15 tanker, or ATM, or whatever, RTV.
All right, you are lost. I just want to read this one quick, because I think it just came through, so you probably don't have it. Okay. WWE Hall of Famer Roddy Piper spoke with Wrestling Voice Radio about doing Piper's Pit with John Cena and The Rock. Unless they try and put it down Monday, I'm just communicating with them now. It takes a lot of guts to go on Piper's Pit. I've seen other people do this show, and none of them have come close. The reason is it's dangerous in there. I'm not sure Duty wants to risk its two stars in that zone. It's the closest to the truth. A little bit of kayfabe in there. But actually, I heard this idea first on The Law last week, and I like it. If you harken back to Survivor Series... No. When did Piper do the big promo? Survivor Series the year before, right? When he yelled at Cena for the...
No, he did it. He did it a couple months ago, didn't he? Did he do it in Boston? No, that was the Cena. That was the thing with Mick. Never mind.
No,
when did he do
that? He did it last year, Survivor Series. He gave Cena the pep talk. Remember?
That's right. Okay, it was last year Survivor Series. Yeah. Okay, right.
I'm not sure he's done one since, but you know, he can sell the match. And if they're smart and they want to keep Rock and Cena apart, maybe this is the way you do it. You have them both go in the pit, and you have Piper really put over the importance and passing the torch and keeping things going. Let him do Piper things.
Right. No, I agree, but. It would be good. You'd want to pump it up, though, unless they put it on the website. But, I mean, who knows if that's going to happen. All right. Next story. On the Extreme Pro Wrestling Radio with Edge, and World Warrior Animal is one of the hosts of this, actually. He had a few comments to say. On his actual retirement plans. Now, remember, he retired last year after WrestleMania because of his neck. But he goes, I was going to get through WrestleMania and then wrestle through the year and call it quits after this year's Mania.
Oh, wow.
So he's planning on sticking around for one more year, and he was going to retire anyway. Hmm. So, on whether it was easy to retire knowing that if he had continued, it could affect his quality of life, he goes, I had no choice. Quote, the WWE medical staff kept a real close eye on my health and the situation with my neck, and we knew it could be any time now. They wouldn't clear me to compete, so it was pretty easy. And finally, this is an easy one on who was going to induct him on that Saturday night, obviously Christian. The WWE asked me the other day, and it wouldn't make sense to have anyone else. He goes, I mean, if I showed up and Sergeant Slaughter was inducting me, I'd be like, I love you, Sarge, but why you? He also confirmed the release of his DVD, which will be that Tuesday after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. His DVD comes out. So a couple notes from the Rated R Superstar. I'm looking forward to his speech. It's going to be very emotional because he, another guy who took this business so seriously. And he had a good book. Did you read his book?
Edges? Yeah, it's solid. Yep.
Yeah, I liked it. He definitely needs to do a second one, though.
Yeah, it was a little hollow, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, his career, it was only from when his life up until
right
before he got hurt.
But, I mean, even it wasn't too much. I mean, it was more of just a feel-good biography more than anything.
Right. WWE has announced that Lillian Garcia will sing America the Beautiful at WrestleMania 28 in Miami.
That's fine.
Jennifer Hudson was previously rumored to perform.
No, that would have been a big deal, too, if they could have gone.
Yeah. This makes three musical performances. Florida will be performing Wild Ones and Good Feeling during Rock's entrance.
Good Feeling. So,
yeah.
Hear that so much everywhere.
I know. And Machine Gun Kelly will perform Invisible for John Cena.
Yeah, whatever.
So.
Another
not, like Motorhead doing, not like Motorhead doing... doing
or you doing it. Time to play the game!
Or me doing... or Motorhead and me doing it at the same time.
Oh, God. Another news story that just came across, probably not on your list. Back on the March 12th Raw Super Show, Undertaker messed up and said WrestleMania was on April 21st instead of April 1st. I don't know if you picked up on that. It was noted as a sign of respect that Taker had backstage not one talent publicly brought up the error. Had it been anyone else, there would have been several people making fun of him. And of course, that goes without saying that he was not going to incur anything. Imagine Vince just walks up to him. It would be like Judgment Day 2000. He walks up to him and does a duck walk all angry. And then just Taker looks at him and just turns around and stomps back.
That would have been fun. All right, this has been... this. You're wondering, is this the wrong podcast? Oh my God, are we doing... Wait a minute. Is he at the 96 Rumble? What?
It's almost like they knew we were ending his run so far on TV, so they had to pop him back up.
But no, that is not it. Ready for this? Former WWE superstar... Big Daddy V, a.k.a. Diabetes, a.k.a. Candy Girl. Scheduled for the Wild Out Wrestling Promotions Betrayed event on March 31st at the Giant Flea Market in Union City, Tennessee.
Yeah.
The former King of the Ring was set to take part in a multi-man match with Kamala Jr. and Team Kamala versus Team Showtime. Kamala Jr. announced last night on Facebook that the event has been moved from March 31st to April 14th due to Big Daddy V being booked by WWE. A source very close to Big Daddy V reports that WWE has him booked and he will be at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Yes.
So is he on Ace's team? What else do you do with him?
I know. But
unless,
I want him to come out dressed
as... Well, unless they just like one of the comedy spots in the back and they use him.
Yeah. But I want him dressed as Candy Girl. I think we need to bring back the gold. I think we bring back the Laker colored tights. That's what we need to do.
Yes.
We need to do the Laker colored tights. Got to do it.
Oh, Lord. Well, yep. We'll see what happens with the Candy Girl.
For our man Safazio.
I'm hoping he's on as Mabel, whatever they do.
Yeah. Wow, was it Friday night at 1 o'clock in the morning? All right. Getting back to Roxina, and this is a rumor that's been bantered about over and over again.
As noted, body slammer around the world won everybody's vote. It almost knocked the hole right through the bottom of the boat.
If he was alive, would they have held off Edge and had him be the head of this class? Do you think Vince would have?
I still think maybe they'll do it. Oh, if he was alive? I don't know.
If he was alive.
Probably.
If he was
not.
Alive this year.
No, probably not. If they're going to do it, I'm guessing it might be in New York next year, but we'll see.
Well, that would be tremendous, unfortunately. Well, you get to see the genius. You've always
wanted
to do that.
Gazelle right through Manhattan.
maybe they'll bring back Bo and Blake.
Yes, that'd be tremendous.
Yes, and then you and Jim could have your sheets on. Anyway, okay. As noted before, WWE officials were discussing a potential John Cena vs. The Rock rematch this past weekend. There has also been talk of doing a third match between the two.
You heard it here first.
If they go with the trilogy, the rematch would take place sometime this year, with the third match taking place, of course, next year at WrestleMania 29 at the Snoopy Bowl. That likely third match would take place, the middle match would probably take place either at SummerSlam or at Survivor Series.
I would think now, SummerSlam.
I like that idea for one, not I like it, but I feel good about that coming true only for the reason is... I don't know if they're going to not have Rock win in front of his home crowd.
Yeah. I mean, all along, I've just assumed Cena's winning. But if this is seeming to be a reality, you know, back when we talked about it a few weeks ago, it was kind of just a rumor. But now that it's looking to be something like they're legitimately planning, then, yeah, it makes sense for Rock to win the first match and then Cena to win. Though I know Graham mentioned a couple weeks ago about Cena winning all three, but I just don't see that happening. Okay. I can see Rock winning this one. And then Cena wins at SummerSlam in LA, and then caps off next year with the win again.
Right.
I just don't know how much interest there is in three matches between these two, because I feel like people are losing interest already. So,
well, here's my
point. Thing you're risking.
Well, here was the other thing that I was saying about that I was thinking about with this big 1 hour special and everything, which I'm not saying is wrong, but if you're going to do this a year from now, what do you do next year? You know,
well, you can do another show of them training. I mean, it's just them training. It's not nothing, special. It's just going to be interesting because of the production and the work they put into it. But I just mean the issue itself is already feeling almost stale at this point. And can they really get two more matches out of it? And are you wasting a potential Cena money match with someone else? But let's get through this year first. And
yeah,
I think we'll know by the end of the show, depending on who's winning, where they're headed.
Exactly. I think you'll like this. This is this tidbit's for you. There's an experiment that's going to be done when WWE does their live event tour of Puerto Rico, having Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez as a tag team.
Love it.
And they'll be facing – and on the tour, they will be facing Primo and Epico for the tag titles.
Yeah, I like it. As long as they don't split them up eventually, you know, coming off being a tag team. But I hope they do. I think Ricardo deserves more than he usually has because he really is an entertaining guy. Mm.
Okay, here is huge news. Huge news, and I think this is a big deal. I like this a lot. This is big for people that live in the Northeast. In the latest on the WWE developmental system, sources are confirming that the company intends to open up something related to developmental right in my backyard in Stamford, Connecticut in the next few
months.
That'd
be crazy.
And that they are far enough along in the process that they have someone in mind to head it up. The idea would be to have a small group of wrestlers working directly with the company to prep them for their TV debut. One idea is to integrate it with their latest production facility, which, by the way, is right down the street from Dr. G's house.
Well, I expect you to be like an Impact Zone mutant for the show. Like, you better go to everyone and provide us live reports and everything else.
Oh, absolutely. No, I will definitely. Let me tell you something. If it's there and it's free and we can get a bunch of people, I'll as many as I can, definitely. And we can get some updates on guys. I would love to see that. I wonder where they'll do it. That's the key thing.
So would this be – oh, okay, middle ground. I was going to say, that makes sense to me that this is post-developmental pre-TV.
Yeah. The production facility, so everything's under one roof. And again, the production facility, obviously is a building that's
It would have a cool, like, old NWA feel inside the little studio.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Maybe I'll try. You know what? That's something, if I want to get back into my biz, that would be pretty, maybe they'll get you and I to do the play-by-play in color. I think it'd be pretty good. All right. One source claimed the idea would be to provide a middle ground between developmental and TV so performers have a better chance of connecting with the audience once they debut. Okay. With that said, sources continue to claim there are no plans to shut down FCW, citing that just within the last week they were discussing new potential locations in Florida to shoot TV.
Right, because that was a rumor that came out a few days ago, was that FCW was getting shut down immediately because they had notified the network that they weren't going to be providing live shows anymore or whatever.
Well, according to PW Insider, the company was extremely angry about those rumors, which is what sparked Triple H's comments on the website. They actually did a kind of a shoot situation on WWE.com with Triple H about the developmental. The FCW closing reports had several officials furious, according to the sources at PW Insider. So, I think it'd be dumb to close Tampa. What's the point? I mean,
I was really shocked when I saw that. And you know, from what I've heard, some of the guys at the Blog of Doom watch that show regularly on YouTube, and they'll post the links and everything, and apparently it's been pretty good lately. So,
yeah. But, yeah, if there's a middle ground where they do tapings, and it'd be great if guys showed up. I mean, that'd be awesome.
So, I think it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so if there's definitely, you know, for those that live in Connecticut, our PTB Nation, like, what's his name, Austin Pfaff and
Mr. Pfaff
and a few of our other listeners, you know, we'll keep you abreast of the situation and see how it plays out. That'd be very cool. All right, this is a continuing saga as we head towards WrestleMania. WWE and TNA are still negotiating regarding Ric Flair appearing at the Hall of Fame. At last word, no deal has been made yet, but it's said that TNA isn't asking for much in return. TNA is said to be very open to allowing Flair on WWE TV. Regarding the negotiations, there's no word yet on what TNA is asking for. Don't look for WWE to plug TNA's product in any way. Duh. But there will likely be some form of compensation for TNA allowing WWE to use their talent. A WWE source notes that The Rock's references to Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair on Monday's Raw Super Show were an indication that in WWE's general universe, TNA does not exist.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be some monetary gain. But like I said, it doesn't hurt TNA at all. If anything, may it bring some attention to them having Flair on, and they can maybe even, and then they'll probably end up talking about it on their show, saying, you know, we were so in demand that WWE, you know, brought our guy on or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do that. And WWE's not going to care. Although something that I haven't, I didn't see a fabricator. That's not the right word. Bulldog fabricating. Yes, you're fired. A published story on this. The Silverback told me this story today. So again, take it for what it's worth. But apparently, TNA lost their DVD licensing, so they can't do DVDs right now.
Yeah, the national licensing. So I'm sure they'll come up with another deal.
Right? Yeah, I'm sure they will too. You don't do DVDs, you might as well just close up. okay, so looks like we're going to see Flair, which is just is going to be awesome. So, but I mean, I don't want him to sit there. He doesn't have to give a 10-minute speech. We already saw that.
Let the other guys talk. Yeah.
Honestly, the guy that I'm looking forward to seeing, at least on camera, is obviously Barry Windham.
Right.
Make sure that he's healthy and he's on. That's what I'm looking forward to. As noted before, we talked about it earlier, Matt A. Train Bloom, oh, I got a story to tell you about him in a minute, is set to return to WWE in April as Lord Tensai and will reportedly be pushed to the top.
Yeah, the same probably feuding with Cena.
Besides Cena, WWE officials have also discussed having Tensai feud with Orton. No word yet if Tensai will still come in as one of John Laurinaitis' henchmen.
I'm guessing not because they did the vignette for him.
Yeah. Good. Good to see him back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone has said he has improved greatly in Japan and is one of the best guys over there and his tag team over there and everything. So I'm looking forward to it. I think he's definitely earned this comeback. I liked him even when he was A-Train, so I had no beef. But I'm curious to see if they let him use his, you know, improved work rate here in this ring. So
yeah. And, of course, when he was Hip Hop Hippo, that was quite good, too. Of course, the Silverback, I had to mention that. By the way, anyway, so he was that promo, by the way, that mm-hmm. was on that vignette on Raw was obviously shot in our building.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my coworkers, Joe, you know who Joe is, he opened the door to the bathroom and he was walking out the bathroom.
That's funny.
So as our friend Joe was walking out of the bathroom, A-Train was walking into the bathroom dressed in his garb. He had his tights on, all his tats and everything. Yeah, he had no idea who he was and he almost crapped himself. I would have been like, oh shit, A-Train. I don't get those moments. I've seen Taz in the can and Jack Corpella before he got fired or before he left. That's all I've ever seen.
I was watching ESPN News before to get some of the Tebow stuff, and the Grish was hosting the ESPN News show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen Grish, and obviously Coach is awesome.
Yeah, Coach is everywhere, man. That guy's definitely one of their rising stars right now. He's a radio show and everything.
No, he did a good thing by leaving. Mm-hmm. His character was getting kind of burned out, so good for Coach. Okay. World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan is reportedly dating WWE diva Brie Bella. New photos that have surfaced online this week confirm the rumors. And there's pictures of them like in a McDonald's, like, you know, holding hands. There's pictures of them kissing.
Too bad. I wish he was really dating AJ. I think they're a nice couple.
I think so, too. What makes this interesting is that WWE has begun a feud between Bryan's on-screen girlfriend, AJ Lee, and the Bellas. Last Friday, SmackDown saw AJ defeat Nikki after Bryan stopped Brie from making the twin switch. WWE's website speculated that Bryan stopped the match because the switch because maybe he was still emotionally scarred by breaking up with the Bellas. If you remember, Bryan. But they did it, though, because they walked in on him making out with Gail Kim.
So. All right, let's move on from this.
I wanted to throw that out there. So. Okay, this is a big deal for me for both of us, because this involves gimmicks, and I'm hoping something changes from this. As noted, as we talked about in the past, WWE will be bringing back No Way Out this mm-hmm. June at the Meadowlands. Or it says East Rutherford, so I don't know if it's not going to be in Newark. It'll be at the IDOT Center. According to promotional material for the event, it looks like WWE will hold the main events inside steel cages. Does that mean that my prayers have been answered and we no longer see a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view?
I think so. I think the fact that we're getting it at Mania and now getting that cage, I'm thinking it's probably done as a pay-per-view. Hopefully.
God.
Yeah. It was stupid because this is the way they used to shoehorn feuds into being Hell in a Cell instead of letting it organically happen. Like we said, look how much better it was just having it come out of nowhere for this match because it felt right. Instead of having to say, oh, we got Hell in a Cell coming up, let's come up with some feuds to go into the cell. You know, to have it build into being a cell feud is the way to go. So
exactly. And the last news bit, another thing that makes you and I very happy. At the SmackDown tapings last night, Newark was sunny.
Very nice.
And she said she will be at WrestleMania.
Cool.
Goodness, but I'm assuming, like you said, probably a backstage, you know, our you know, the annual, 20-minute backstage thing where we get to see all these people we haven't seen in ages. I just want once. I agree. Why can't they call the one-man gang back and just get him in the Akeem costume?
I don't know.
You know,
I
you know,
did I tell you I tried to get him on the show, but he said he doesn't do interviews.
No, you didn't tell me that, really?
Yeah, oh. I talked to him on Facebook.
Oh, I man.
I told him I was the biggest Hakeem fan ever.
Oh, man, it's a bummer. You should tell him Twin Towers, greatest, the greatest uncrowned champions ever.
I agree.
Yeah, so she'll be WrestleMania. I'm assuming, you know, Slick's going to be there. He's been at every he's been at every WrestleMania backstage skit for. I'm sure we'll see Dusty and the usual.
Hopefully,
the usual crew. Duggan, I'm sure, will be cavorting around there somewhere.
All right, so let's move along then from our Tammy boner.
Yes.
To our T boner. I figured this was fitting, considering this sunglassed, mustachioed man is the reason this whole thing is happening.
I think that's exactly it.
And that is, of course, the big news. It was a circus afternoon. At 1 o'clock, news broke that the New York football Jets had traded for one and only Tim Tebow. It was a fourth and a sixth round pick in return for Tebow and a seventh round pick from Denver. I went through the stages of grief very quickly. Denial, anger, eventually to acceptance.
Smoking drugs, what?
Already, already trying to figure out how he's going to fit into the offense. So I had already accepted things when news broke that the deal had fallen apart. Because Denver had paid Tebow $5 million in advance and now wanted a restitution of that money because he wasn't. The money was in advance of 2012 and 2013, and now they're claiming that because he's not playing for them for those years, that they should be, they should not be on the hook for the money. But, you know, you paid him, so I don't really get the issue. Right. So things fell apart because the Jets didn't want to pay the $5 mil. Jacksonville jumped back in. It looked like for a while he's going back to the Jaguars. The fake Tim Tebow Twitter account tweeted that he's going to Jacksonville. Mike Lombardi, that dope on NFL Network, bought it and tweeted it out that he's going to Jacksonville. And then, of course, it turned around that he was going back to the Jets and that they had agreed to eat half the money. So $2.5 mil they would pay Denver to bring Tebow in. Now, as far as where he's going to go, I don't know. I mean, from a pure football perspective, I guess I'm okay with it because I'm kind of curious if they use him in goal line situations as a goal line back and stuff like that, Wildcat. But I'm really nervous about any kind of quarterback controversy. You know, three plays into the first game, if Sanchez goes three and out in the first game, that, you know, the fans of the Meadowlands are going to be chanting for Tebow and just inviting trouble behind Sanchez. But on the other hand, maybe it keeps Sanchez focused and motivated knowing that he has this guy sitting behind him. So I'm really curious if they use him as a straight-up backup quarterback or if they're going to use him more, yeah, just like almost like they used to use Brad Smith. Yeah, I've seen that comp a lot. I don't really agree with it because they're completely different players, but it's like Tebow's going to split out wide and go deep or anything. But, you know, if they want him in there to fake the option and throw a deep ball every now and then, fine. You know, whatever. The Jets are a fucking circus no matter what, so it doesn't really make a difference.
Well, I'm going to do what you did to me when I criticized Tony Romo. I'm going to read a text that you sent to me when we were talking about this the other day. So, obviously, opinions have to change when they wear your colors. But when you and I were talking about this, you told me, and I quote, "This was about the trade." We have to, there's another news story. We haven't talked about the actual signing that forced Tebow to be traded. We'll get to that in a minute. But the last two words you said to me on this text was, quote, "Tebow sucks."
He does suck. But see, the difference is, and I've seen people, you know, saying, "Oh, the Jets are going to be worse. This is make them a worse team." I don't think it. I don't see how it possibly makes them a worse team because he's not coming in to be the starting quarterback. If he was going into Jacksonville where he's going to be the starting quarterback, it's a real fucking joke. He's not coming here to start. He's not going to the Jets to start as quarterback. He's going to sit behind Sanchez, be the backup, and come in as a change of pace slash wildcat, whatever. If you have issues saying he's going to bring more of a circus and cause a controversy, that's fine. But it doesn't make the team worse. It maybe causes more off-field issues, but he's not that bad of a player where it's like subjecting, basically he can't do any damage from the position they're going to put him in is my point. Mm-hmm. If he was coming in as a starting quarterback, yes, I believe he sucks. I don't think he's a great starting quarterback at all, but if he's going to come in and be the backup and be used as a running back and a fullback and stuff like that, then I'm okay with it. Okay. But I think he sucks as a quarterback. Yes.
Okay. You are the Sanchez. What are you thinking right now?
I mean, I'm guessing he's pissed, you know, I'm guessing he's probably confused, but, you know, like anything, he's getting paid a lot of money to shut his mouth and do his job. And as long as he performs, he's going to start. So man up. It's your fourth year. You know, you have a Super Bowl-capable defense. I'm hoping they bring Braylon Edwards back for him. And then, you know, you do what you're going to do. If you win, no one's going to say anything.
Okay. Well, you know, I have faith in my man, Tony, to help your offense.
And this is him, you know, has him ran all over it, so we'll see.
Yeah,
and you know, Rex and Tannenbaum are putting their asses on the line for this guy, because if this thing backfires and Sanchez falls apart and Tebow comes in and he sucks, and, you know, they might all be gone, so.
Yeah. Well, Woody Johnson, which is probably one of the greatest names in all of sports, he hates, I think, the 2011 was the biggest nightmare NFL season for him. Because A, his team did not perform, and B, he had to watch the Giants again beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl and see Eli hoist up the trophy, and that just pisses him off to no end. It's like how the Wilpons feel about the Yankees.
Except
they can never do anything about it because, you know, they're rubbing two nickels together. But that's another story we'll talk about briefly later. But you know what? Go for it. What do you got to lose? Really? What do you have to lose?
Oh, there's a lot to lose. I mean, They could start a real serious controversy. You know, every interception, every missed pass that Sanchez throws, even if they're winning, is going to lead to Tebow chance. And God forbid if he comes in at a goal line and rushes it in, and Sanchez is sitting there watching him. You know, whatever. There's a lot that can go wrong. Trust me. But I also think a lot can go right from it.
Well, let's put it this way: this is going to be a very important camp for you guys. Very important camp that the lines need to be drawn in the sand. No pun on the evolution theme. But there needs to be defined. One thing our man Tony needs to do. Is there needs to be defined roles. Like, Sanchez needs to be told, you are the starter. And Tebow needs to be told, you will be like Cordell Stewart, only better. You are slash. You may come in on a 3rd and 6 in the Wildcat. You may line up in the slot. You're going to do a lot of things. Your athleticism is going to be your asset. Don't worry about throwing a Peyton Manning pass or, you know, having to hit Braylon Edwards in a timing pattern in the back corner of the end zone. Just, when we tell you to do something, do it, period. Right. And the Sanchez has to be told behind closed doors, stop belly aching. And
well, he doesn't really belly. He never complains. You never hear much from him.
Well, no, but I mean, don't.
Yeah, but in his defense, too, I'm done with them fucking around his receiver core. I mean, they've stripped him of his receivers every year, rebuilt the core. And last year was the worst, getting rid of Cotchery and Braylon Edwards and Brad Smith all at the same time. Right. Like I said, I really hope they bring Braylon back because I think he added that deep threat that they didn't have last year, and he had a lot of confidence, and Sanchez had a lot of confidence in him to be able to throw the ball up and Braylon would go up and get it. So
right.
I think bringing Edwards back would be big and kind of complete the offense. Now, the Jets beat writer Manish Mehta is tweeting right now, Tannenbaum's talking. He said, we're really excited about Tim Tebow. Mark Sanchez is and has always been our starting quarterback. Tim will now be our backup. Says Tim Tebow will be using Wildcat packages along with other offensive sets. It's exciting to know we solidified the backup quarterback. It looks like Drew Stanton's not going to be the number 3. And he said every quarterback has a backup. We just changed who ours is. So I feel a little bad for Drew Stanton. I'm guessing they're going to keep around and probably dump your boy McElroy or put him on the practice squad. But
that sucks. That guy's awesome. I mean, look, I watched him for 3 years at Alabama.
You think
the guy's
he's an
a
NFL
born leader.
Starter, though. He doesn't really have much of an arm.
Well, maybe it's Tebow.
Oh, Tebow's got an arm. He's just not accurate.
He's got an arm. He just throws ducks. That's all.
Yeah, well, McElroy's the exact opposite. He's accurate, but he can't throw anything deep.
Well, we'll see. You might as well keep him on there because you never know. This is a big draft for the Jets, and it's a big camp for the Jets.
Well, it's a big draft, yeah. They still need a pass rusher. They still need an offensive lineman, and they got to figure out the receiver set. Obviously, now, I don't think they're going to go looking for another running back. They were linked to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but he signed in Cincy. And they were, talked about maybe them trying to trade up for Trent Richardson. But I think they're going to use Tebow a lot in running sets. And they'll pair him with Sean Green and Joe McKnight and go with that. So, they need a receiver. I'm hoping it's Braylon. And then they need to solidify. They got Laron Landry, but they still need a cover safety, a free safety as well.
So. I wanted him so bad. I wish the Cowboys had gotten him.
A great deal, too. 1 year. And I think it's like only $3 million guaranteed.
Yeah,
and the rest is only if he plays all the games. So, very good deal.
If we had a general manager that didn't have if we had a general manager, period. I think the Cowboys would have made a play for Laron Landry. They did sign another kid at the corner, but this is a big draft for the Cowboys just as much as for anybody else.
They got a good corner. They got the guy from the Chiefs, right?
They got the guy from the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is very good. And they let Terrence Newman walk. I still think he's leaving the stadium now, and that was a week and a half ago. That's how slow he is. So it's a big draft for everybody.
Resigned Ogletree. Big resigning.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I don't know. Why do you think the Jets should have made a play for Moss, huh? What do you think?
I don't know. I saw it rumored, but I think he can be good, but I just think they didn't want to put another potential angry receiver with Holmes. I think they want to try and keep the peace on the offense. And
well, if you're gonna bring Braylon in, you don't want to bring Moss in too. You're gonna have a bunch of angry guys.
Well, Braylon got a bad rap, man. I mean, he had some off the field issues, but he, for all accounts, he was loved in that locker room, and he was good friends with Sanchez and everything. He was pretty broken up when they let him go, and he really liked being a Jet. That's why I think they have a good chance to bring him back really cheap, because I think he wants to come back. Yeah. I don't think he ever wanted to leave. So I think he would have played for nothing last year if they would have kept him around. So
right. Well, we'll see. It'll be very interesting. We got a lot to talk about as the spring progresses in the summer, and then we get to camps, and it was a big deal. Now, let's talk about the event that precipitated the T-Boner moving east, and that is the 5-year, $96 million deal that Eli's big brother signed with.
Yeah, he'll never see all that money.
Denver Broncos. No, he won't.
He'll get the guaranteed part, but that's it.
I think that Peyton deserved an opportunity to play with a team that's competitive and close. I didn't think Denver was closer than some other teams. For all those Titans fans that are pissed off, you guys weren't even close. All right.
Well, the only thing they had going for them was that, you know, that's his home state and they love
exactly.
him there. I mean, that's the only thing they had.
That's
going.
The only thing they had going for them. They're not even close. Their offensive line is abysmal. Look how many guys got smacked around last year. That Titan. Hasselbeck got hurt. He needs a team that's got a solid enough offensive line. Now, the weather thing, you know, I've kind of harped on that a lot over the last couple weeks. That's why I really thought Houston was a great idea. But I guess they like Matt Schaub, you know.
Yeah.
But don't forget, it's not going to – I mean, they're like, oh, my God, he's got to play 13 games outdoors.
They only have one indoor game this year.
One indoor game, and that's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So 15 games outdoors. But, you know, it's not going to be 5 degrees in September. I mean,
I never bought into that either, honestly. I mean, if he wanted to play indoors and be safe, we would have went to Arizona, where they have 15 out of 16 games indoors this year. So,
yeah.
You know, that's where he would have went if he really, really cared. But right. I don't think that really made a difference, honestly.
No, I don't think so either.
I think the biggest things were he wanted to be in the AFC because he didn't want to go against Eli. He wanted the potential to have them face off in the Super Bowl. They didn't want to block each other. I don't think he wanted the hoopla being in New York. I don't think he wanted to be in the disaster of Miami, where the ownership is a train wreck. And, you know, now we understand why they traded Brandon Marshall, but that team has been gutted. So
the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel bad for David Garrard. Who the hell is he going to throw to?
Yeah.
What a mess.
Devon Bess and Hartline are their receivers. So, you know, they're clear rebuilding mode. Tennessee... especially once Reggie Wayne went back to Indy. So, you know, Tennessee, I thought, had an outside chance. But I said Denver from the start back in January, December, January, when this first started leaking out. It just made sense to me because I knew Elway wanted to get rid of Tebow, and this was his best chance to do
yep.
it. Bring in a Hall of Famer. Don't agree with me. You disagreed with me like 3 weeks ago that he was going to Denver.
No, I'm agreeing with you that it was Elway's excuse to get. I didn't think it was going to happen, though. I didn't think he was going to go to Denver because I didn't think he wanted to play there. I'm agreeing with you that it was Elway's out.
Right.
That's what I was saying. I didn't think he was going to actually do it, but that's
right.
his out.
I mean, to me, if he wanted to legitimately win, he would have went to the Niners. They have the best team in the weakest
absolutely.
Division.
Denver, yeah.
to me, is a better pick than Miami because it's an easier path to the playoffs. Miami would have had to go through still a fairly strong Jets team. I'm not going to say they're the favorites by any means, but a fairly strong Jets team. And, you know, a very good Patriots team. And that's two teams that would have had to jump, whereas Denver, I think, instantly becomes the best team in that division. I think San Diego is up and down, as always, and Oakland and Kansas City, you know, prove it again. So, I think he did pick the easier division, which is smart. Get to the playoffs and anything can happen.
Yeah, and I mean, the outdoor games, I mean, remember, he's playing two games in San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was overhyped. I don't think anyone ever knew anything, honestly. I think that was just all people spitballing. But
yeah, exactly.
If he really wanted to have the best chance to win, I think San Fran was the spot. But he didn't want to play Eli during the season. He didn't want to block him to go to the Super Bowl. And they want to have that dream of the Manning Bowl. So, you know, it's his prerogative to pick the team he wanted to go to. And if they had to sacrifice the version to do so, then they did that.
You know who I'm surprised didn't make a play for signing him? Because they have their own – well – they screwed themselves in the regular season by getting Carson Palmer, but I could have seen the Raiders making a play for Manning.
Palmer's their franchise now. They gave.
Well, I know, but I mean, we all said that was almost like, you know.
Oh, of course it was stupid.
Chips into that, but yeah.
Yeah, but they gave up so much for him. There's no way they could walk away from now. He gave up two number ones. And
but
honestly,
right now,
he played pretty well last year. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, no, he had some moments. I mean, the first few starts, he threw a lot of picks, but he got them to the last game and, you know. All right, well, let me ask you this then. Flat out on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Broncos the favorite in the AFC now?
No. I think Houston is.
I do too.
I think Houston, if Schaub didn't get hurt, I think Houston won the Super Bowl last year.
But I don't know why. I don't know why they didn't spend the money to keep Mario Williams, though.
That was a lot of money. Yeah. I think they can survive it.
All right. Well,
that was a lot of money.
Yeah. If they had Manning, they would have been awesome. Now, another
I don't think Schaub's that much of a drop off than modern day Manning, and I think he runs that offense well. I think I can see why they didn't want to spend the money on Manning.
Well, the other thing is look, they made the playoffs with Tyler Yates.
Yeah, exactly. And they almost knocked off the Ravens. They almost made it to the AFC Championship. I think with Schaub, I mean, they got hosed last year with injuries. I mean, they didn't have Schaub for most of the year, and they didn't have Andre Johnson for most of the year. So if you have those two guys, to me, I think they would have easily at least made the Super Bowl. So, Yeah. So to me, they're the favorite. The Patriots are going to be good as always, but I think Houston's the overall best team right now. I mean, who knows? A lot's going to change between now and the season. But.
Yeah. I think Ellis leaving the Pats is a big loss.
He didn't do much. Yeah. Sean Ellis.
No,
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Sean Ellis. I don't think he did anything.
No, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I mean, he was, you know, he
yeah, but they don't, you know, they weren't going to pay. They don't pay guys, so they weren't going to spend $5 million on him when they got 15 other running backs there.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. They usually their running backs are nothing more than bit players anyway, so.
Right. Exactly. They don't use them enough to justify spending that money.
No, exactly. All right. Now, my opinion is the biggest news story of the day. Tebow is not the biggest news story of the day.
Yeah.
A big news story of the day of a backup quarterback being traded just because he's who he is. No, this is huge. This is precedent setting in NFL history. And that is what happened today in the span of 5 minutes to the New Orleans Saints. To recap, of course, we all know what happened over the last 3 years. Defensive coordinator Greg Williams, who is now the defensive coordinator for the Rams, who probably will have no job soon.
Well, he might not be allowed back, so it might not matter.
Well, that's true, too. Had a bounty program in place where, obviously, he was giving players bonuses for taking out certain guys. It was investigated, and today, in a move that I think is absolutely brilliant, needed to be done, and should be mimicked by every other governing sports body, including the NCAA in America. Roger Goodell, who is not looking for popularity. This isn't like Pete Rozelle or Paul Tagliabue, who likes to smile in their press conferences. This guy could care less what you think of him.
Right.
He dropped the hammer. And I've said this to people all day at work. This is the NFL's equivalent of the NCAA giving SMU the death penalty.
Right.
The general manager, Loomis, suspended for 8 games, but who cares if a general manager is suspended on it? I mean, well, it shouldn't care, but I mean, for games. Mm. But here's the big one. Sean Payton is suspended for a full year without pay.
Yep, $7 million he makes a year.
$7 million, gone. He's making none of that this year. Gone. Loomis is fined $500,000. The team is fined $500,000. They lose 2 picks in this year's draft, 2 second-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Williams is suspended indefinitely.
Right, they said at least this year, probably more.
So if I were the Rams, I might as well just fire him.
Well, they said they're not going to yet. So
okay.
They're just going to go with their staff.
This is precedent-setting. And Roger Goodell said, enough is enough. All right.
Well, his beef is that they lied. That he kept saying, you know, end this. They knew about it, and they kept lying and saying it was over, and they kept doing it. And, you know, that's his main issue, is that they kept going despite all the warnings and everything, and they didn't stop. Now, this isn't including even yet the issue with the players getting suspended. They're saying Jonathan Vilma may get suspended for a year as well because he was the main player indicted in all this.
Wow.
So there's still going to be some fallout with that. And did you see the whole thing about Warren Sapp tweeting about who was the snitch in all this?
I didn't see. I heard something about it. I didn't read who it was, but I heard something about it today.
Yeah, Warren Sapp tweeted that he found out from his sources that Jeremy Shockey's the one who snitched on all this and opened up this whole can of worms. So, I mean, who knows if it's true. Sapp is standing by the story, but you know what? Does this happen on a lot of teams? Probably, but these are the idiots who got caught. They didn't fess up. They kept lying. It's dangerous business. It was playing with fire. They got burnt bad. I think the punishment is fine to fit the crime. Honestly, I don't think, you know, Peyton deserved the year. He knew about it. He's the head man. Yep. Whether he was the one running the show or not, as far as the bounties go, he was aware of it. He lied to the league. You want to be the guy on top, you got to take the fall. So that's a big loss to them to lose him for the year, though.
That is a huge, huge loss.
Not just losing any coach. You know, it's not like losing Jack Del Rio for a year or something. I mean, he's a really good coach that really plays a major role for that team.
Look, I'm sorry. Look, you already have an offense that was going to be unbelievably ridiculous, and now you've got Steve Spagnuolo who's going to fix this defense because Greg Williams, bounty or not,
Spagnuolo is basically going to be the other guy's name is going to be the pretty much Mackinnon or Macklin.
Macklin. And this team could have easily gone undefeated, and now they're almost going to be like this year's Colts. Mm. I mean, the whole. I mean,
they're not going to be that bad. 15, but I mean, they still have all the weapons. I mean,
but this is bad, and it's going to severely stunt them. And Tom Benson, who's the owner of the Saints, who's kind of a scumbag in his own right, eventually I think he needs to just I think he needs to clean house, and I think they all need to be.
Well, Breeze has them. Breeze is in the best position because he's got them over a bucket now because they, you know, he's waiting on his new contract. They've been playing hardball, but they need him. So,
it's a big deal. But kudos to Roger Goodell. You know what? He's not looking to win popularity contests. He's trying to run the most powerful sports league in North America, it's a big deal. And there are people today who are telling me, "Oh, how come the Saints got such a, and this isn't you, but well, it wasn't Jeff Fans anyway, but like, you know, they're like, well, how come the whole Spygate thing, those suspensions and all that punishment was minimal? Excuse me, some jerk off hiding in the bushes with a camera is not a 280-pound linebacker smacking a running back in the knees and ending his career.
Right.
Okay, it's apples and oranges."
I mean, one was cheating and one was just out, you know, intent to hurt and maim without the other guy being aware that this was happening. So,
yeah, exactly.
They're both serious issues against the game, but, you know, one obviously had more dire consequences.
Exactly.
But, you know, we'll talk about this more as we get closer to the season, the impact on the Saints, but still big news.
It's huge news today. So it was a fun news day, and it all happened like right in the last, right before 1 o'clock. Everything just kind of exploded. So. All right, why don't we do a quick check, because there is a tournament going on.
Let's save it. Let's save it for now. I think we've kind of maxed out.
All right, well, let's put it this way. The one game I'm looking forward to is Kentucky-Indiana.
Yeah,
that's
that'll be good.
I like that game. So we'll talk more about it when we actually have the Final Four.
Yeah, let's wait till we get a little bit closer. I mean, I don't even know if we'll have time next week, but at some point we'll recap things.
Yeah. Okay, I had nothing else. Any other sports news to talk about? Not really.
Well, we don't have anything to say, but I heard we there are two.
There
people
are other
do
people.
Ring in.
You know, wait a minute. Oh, hold on. I gotta read this tweet. Hold on. What's this say?
Oh God.
#hash what? Oh really? Oh shit. Are you ready for this? Well, obviously, you and I had opinions about, you know, Tebow and company, but another couple other guys were really hot under the collar today. It's time to bring him back. Mike and the Mad Dog, Sports Radio 66, WFAN. They're talking sports, going at it as hard as they can. It's Mike and the Mad Dog on the fan. Nothing can get by him, turn it on and try him. Mike and the Mad Dog, We're back. Mike and the Mad Dog here on the Place to Be podcast. We're talking about all sorts of stuff, but I got to bring up my guy, Mikey. Mikey, I haven't seen you in ages, Mikey, but you were fired up today, Mikey. I was looking at things in my Sirius studio, and I had you on, yes, and you were getting fired up, Mikey. You were getting fired up.
Dog, it makes sense you'd be watching me during your show because no one's watching you.
Well, I'm not on TV, Mikey, because I can't believe I don't have to look at you. Wide lens. But anyway, you were getting Jeff fans firing at you, Mikey. Jeff fans firing at you. You're getting mad, firing stuff around. What's going on here, Mikey? Jeff fans like Tebow. Hey, Tebow.
Dog,
Tebow,
the classless Jets proved once again they can't do anything on their own. They're not a well-run franchise like the Giants are. They hate being second bananas. They don't like being embarrassed. Woody the Clown, Tannenbaum the Peanut Cruncher. They don't know what they're doing over there. Sanchez is a mess. Now you're bringing this guy in. He's an inferior quarterback. You ruined Sanchez. You ruined him. What are you doing bringing this guy here? Dog and pony show, dog. Dog and pony show.
I don't have a co-host as a pony. Anyway, but anyway, I think it's a big deal. You know, the Jeff fans, you know, they got something.
What are you doing? Why are you bringing this guy in? Why are you bringing him here? Makes no sense. This team is a fucking train wreck, dog. Fucking train wreck.
You know, Mike.
We can swear on Sirius, right? We can cuss.
Yeah, we do. I don't do it a lot, but I know what you mean.
I'm no prude, dog. But you know, I gotta follow the standards. New York's number one's gonna follow the standards.
But you know, look, Mikey, the Jet fans had a very tough year, you know. They had a very tough year. You know, they want to have all these guys, and they want to win. They want to win, Mikey.
Dog, I'm going to put this in terms that even you can understand. I am like the Super Bowl champion Giants, and you are like the second place Jets. We'll never be in first place in New York. We'll never be in first place in the AFC. I got more number one, more championships than they do. I am the king of New York. Woody Johnson is the clown prince.
Woody Johnson. That's always a funny name, Mikey. Woody Johnson. But anyway, Mikey, what do you think about the Saints thing, Mikey? Sean Payton. What are your guys, Mikey? You know, you and Sean Payton are really close. You know, Sean Payton really close. Now,
Sean Payton, the Saints, dirty, classless. You can't have bounties, dog. You can't do it. You just can't do it in this league. And if you got to do it, you got to come clean when you're caught, dog. You got to come clean.
All right. Well, Mikey, look, we were talking about Tebow. You're really good, Mikey. But let me tell you something. This is the question I wanted to ask. We're talking about Tebow, these guys doing the show. Thank them again. And Mikey, next time, pick up your Diet Coke bottles. You left like 8 of them here last time, Mikey. All right. Look, listen. This is what I want to ask you, Mikey. John Cena, The Rock, Red Sox fan, Marlins fan. What do you think? What's the over-under, Mikey? What do you think? Over-under. Red Sox fan, Marlins. Red Sox, Marlins. What do you think?
Rock's an all-timer. He's a Hall of Famer. Like The Rock. I like Rock a lot. Cena from Boston. Up and comer. Guy trying to take over for the Hall of Famer. Never an easy task. Look at Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi trying to take over for Joe Torre. Never easy. I like The Rock in Miami. I like The Rock given 3.
Give it three, Mikey. What about that punk guy, Mikey? Punky, Mikey. Punky Brewster, like that guy, Punk, and what's his name? What's his name? The rock singer guy. What's his name? You know, the guy singing, and now he's wrestling, you know, with the fancy pants and the glowing jacket. The guy with the lights in his jacket. What do you think, Mikey? What do you think? Over under on that one. The Chicago guy, Chi-Town, Mikey, against the Winnipeg guy from Canada. New hockey. What do you think?
I like Ziggler.
He's not Mikey. He's not in the match, Mikey.
I like Ziggler. I like Dolph. I like Ziggler. I like The Rock. I like Ziggler.
And what do you think about the Hunter guy and the big cell and they're fighting in a cage or like, you know, like real guys fighting in cages?
Two more legends, dog. I like Taker. Triple H. Not a big fan of his politics. It reminds me a lot of Rex Ryan, always running his mouth, never winning anything, always losing in the big spots. So I'm going to go with Taker here, undefeated, just like my Giants, undefeated in the world and the greatest champions of all time.
Good job out of you, Mikey. Good job. And then Mike and the Mad Dog.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Fuck Mike Francesa. Fat fuck.
Woody Johnson, the clown prince. Oh, God. Oh, by the way, debuting. For those that are wondering where a certain commentator is, he joined us a while back for briefly. CBS Sports Network.
Dude, I'm on a network that no one gets. What the fuck happened to me? I was on ESPN. Now I'm in the jungle, hidden in the woods of CBS College Sports. What's going on?
Well, Tuesday, April 3rd.
Scott Criscolo airing my promos. Don't fuck him up, you asshole. Don't let that idiot Rotella name my network. Please. Screws up enough. Joke.
God.
Clown. Tebow. Classic. All right, let's wrap things up. We got to get going. I am actually being summoned as we speak.
Ah, yes. Summoned by the queen and the princess. Yeah, we know where you are in the pecking order now. Yes. All right, so there we go. That is, hope you enjoyed the headline show. A little fire and anger out of us tonight.
Yeah, good to get back in the swing of things. We hope to be back Friday with Wrestling Classic, right?
Yes, Wrestling Classic. For our man, Shoots, Michael Vincent.
Yes, Shoot Man. So he wants us to do the classic. We promise to do that for him. And then, of course, next week we'll do headlines, which will pretty much just be a recap of Raw and then WrestleMania, all WrestleMania, most likely.
Yeah.
Preview and notes for that. So we'll do that. And then, of course, April 12th, do not forget, we will be chatting with the great Gary Michael Capetta.
Mm-hmm.
We will have Graham Cawthon on with that, hosting that interview with us. And we ask you to please provide your questions. There's a thread pinned at the top of our Facebook page. So check that out and leave all your feedback for Mr. Capetta. Should be a lot of fun. So with that said, I am Justin Rosero. That's Scott Griscolo. We will talk to you later this week with the Wrestling Classic.
Good night, Bambina.